Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
2 Corinthians 4, give us verse 12. It says, so then, death walks in us, but life walks in you. It's a mystery that the more we die, the more life walks in you. This is a mystery in the spirit. There is a relationship between death and glory. Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground, it can fall to the ground and remain that way. But if it falls and dies, you see that then it will produce forth fruit. So the way it works in the spirit is that the weight of glory that rests upon you to make you a blessing to your world is a function of the degree of death in experience. So when the more you die, the more you carry the weight of that glory. I'm saying that to put perspective to songs like this. When you hear of songs like this, that they're not just special numbers. It's a call to die the more in experience. It's a call to live a surrendered life the more. And the more this happens in a way that is mysterious but consistent, you will find out that the glory of God keeps manifesting in your life, layer after layer, layer after layer. There's no mysticism around it. If the glory of God is not rested upon your life in ever-increasing dimension, the diagnosis is that you are still alive to yourself. The more you die to your ambition, to the flesh, the more you die to all the things that take his place, the more he's enthroned. That's really what it means to die. To die does not mean to die. To die means that he is exalted above every other thing. He can be in your life, but as number 30. He can be in your life, but as number 15. So for every time you die, he's lifted higher. Every time you die, he's lifted higher. And the journey does not stop till he gets to number 1. And the closer he gets to his rightful place, the more you will see the signal of that progress by the glory that keeps coming to your life. You see that? So 3 people can stand right here, and the level of glory that is released through their life is not just a function of the election of grace. They don't even have to be in ministry. For all of them can be born again. But for one, Christ is number 37 in his heart. For another, Christ seems to be number 3 or 4. For another, Christ is number 1. The weight of glory that responds to the sacrifice, the placement of God's position, that's what will determine their possibilities. So every time we come to church, you are dying because he's been enthroned. Through the teachings, in the atmosphere of worship, what happens is he's lifted a little higher than where he has been in your life. Now, it's a journey that is a very difficult journey. The journey of enthroning Christ is the hardest journey in the believer's life. Receiving Christ is an instant thing. But enthroning Christ in your life, he's already enthroned in heaven. But the reason why your life is not like heaven is that what happened in heaven has not yet happened in your life. There was a seat already prepared for him, and no other entity sat there. You see that now? So for every time you come to church, among the many things you should know God is doing is that he's pruning, he's cutting. There's a circumcision, a cutting away of many things. And let me tell you, this death does not just depend on God's ability. It depends on your yieldedness. You can choose as an act of your will and say, God, I'm tired of dying to the flesh. Let's stop here. And for 5 years, you can mark time. He will respect you. The only thing is that where your death stops is also where the degree of glory stops. It remains there. That's why you find out that certain people may not backslide, but they don't grow. They seem to come around a particular level in the spirit. That's because either through exhaustion or complacency, they have refused to die the more. This prayer of death is not for weak people. This prayer of death is not for carnally minded, casual people. These kinds of songs and prayer are for people who mean business with God. If you are just a church person who just wants to hang around spiritual things, receive from God and keep watching. These kinds of meetings will not make sense for you. But for one who says, Lord, this is everything, everything completely surrendered. These are the kinds of songs that push you higher. Can I lead you to pray one prayer and say, Lord, walk upon my life. Let death walk in me. Prune my tendencies. Let death walk in me. Someone praying online, on site. Lift your voice and pray. Let death walk in me, that life will walk in you. Let death walk in me. Death yet does not talk of corruption. Death yet talks about a separation, a cessation, that some things cannot have life in my life again. 1 minute, you are praying. Shalabaka paranto sabrandige beleke parasyata. So then death walketh in us, that life will manifest in a generation. So then death walks in us, that life will manifest in our children. So then death walks in us. In Jesus' name we pray. I'll give you one more prayer before I ask everybody to sit down. While I was on my way coming, the Holy Spirit quickened in me. And a scripture came to my heart that I want everybody to pray. Give us Daniel chapter 1 and verse 17. There needs to be... Most people do not know the power of skill. This thing called skill. Please, everybody, pay attention. It can mean the difference between your relevance in a generation or the difference between your struggling through life. Skill is a grace that God gives, but it can be enhanced by the study of knowledge in a field. As for these four children, it says God gave them knowledge and skill. You can have knowledge that is gotten from the university. You can advance a being to gain, you know, expertise, but skill is a grace. The ability to do what you do so exceptionally, the ability to do what you do in such an outstanding manner. Can I tell you, human civilization has not yet built an immunity to reject skill. Everywhere skill is seen, there is honor that follows it. Everywhere skill is seen, there is glory that follows it. Everywhere skill is seen, there is value that follows it. Are we together now? Most believers cannot do the much that God desires for them because they are not skillful. Preachers are not skillful. Career people are not skillful. Worshippers are not skillful. Skill is the quality of being exceptional, the quality of being outstanding, thorough, the quality of surpassing ordinary standards, always rising to the occasion, never disappointing. It's a skill. Bring that to the table in your office, and it's only a matter of time. You will see all the sentiments will fade away to a man who is skillful. I'm telling you. But you see, there is skill that is gotten through academic knowledge. That is wonderful. But there is skill that comes as an engracing from God. Both of them can work together as a combo. This is the prayer I want you to pray. Many of us are not skillful. Honestly, I'm telling you, is the reason why it is hard to be free financially. Is the reason why ascending the ladder of influence is for as long as you are common. For as long as you are common, faith will determine your destiny. Hallelujah. When I talk of being skillful, I'm not talking of it from a competitive standpoint. It is not about being better than others. It's about being the most superior version of yourself as far as dispensing gift, dispensing value. Are you getting the point now? I've always given this analogy. If the best student in a class scores 37%, he is the highest in the class. But did he pass the exam? No. 37 is not a pass mark. But if you have an award that is labeled for the best student in that class, that mediocre will be the one to receive the award until he writes an exam that is now being measured by a higher standard. That's when he will know that although he was the best in that school, he still failed according to a global reference. The prayer to have knowledge and skill in all learning and in all wisdom. This is what made Daniel outstanding. This is what made the three Hebrew boys outstanding. It was not just godliness. Godliness made them outstanding, but they were outstanding through skill. Can someone pray that prayer? Lord, I'm tired of a mediocre life. I need the victory of Christ to be manifest in my life. I receive the grace for skill. The capacity to be flawless. The capacity to be exceptional in my delivery. Not just as a preacher. Lift your voice and pray. Skill. Enhanced by academic knowledge. But secular knowledge alone does not bring skill. I tell you, it's a grace that comes from God. The Bible says God gave them knowledge and skill. A preacher is praying. The grace to be exceptional. Shame will never depart from the habitation of mediocres. Reproach will never depart from the habitation of mediocres. One way to bail yourself out in life from this cycle of shame, competition, jealousy is to be skillful. Someone open your mouth and pray in 1 minute. You came to church. As a worshiper, grant me the grace to be exceptional, to be skillful, to be outstanding. As a preacher, the grace to be skillful. As a businessman, the grace to be skillful. That the signature of excellence will trail everything that concerns my life. You're still praying. 30 more seconds. Sabrata la kaparanta sabregete beleke parakatosiata. Skill shamakata parakata that empowers you to become a voice. Skill that empowers you to ascend heights in destiny where competition becomes unnecessary, where jealousy becomes unnecessary, branded by competence. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now I'm going to do a little housekeeping, just a few announcements. Then, worship team, I just feel stirred in my spirit. I don't know if you can still remember, salvation belongs to the Lord. That medley, remember? If you still remember it and you can organize yourselves, I want you to do it again. If whether you get new sets of people, just organize yourself within these 5 minutes. I want us to sing that. You know, we'll just sit down and allow you minister it to us. Find out the people who did it that day, they should do it so that we make sure that they do what they are doing well. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Welcome to church. This is Koinonia. Welcome to church. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So a few announcements very quickly. By the way, let me thank every one of us. For as long as I live, I'll keep doing this. As much as I remember, I will do it. Thank you for all who labor to travel from across the nations. It's already an honor to have people converge every day, every other day, every week, you know, just to witness what God is doing and to be transformed through this extraordinary ministry. It's already a profound honor, and it becomes an added honor when we have people travel from across the globe. We pay very close attention, and we make sure that we accord honor to all our guests who travel across. And so I want to say thank you. particularly to our international guests and the many who are connected with us online, connected to us across the nations of the earth. We really want to say thank you for helping us. You are a fulfillment of the mandate and the prophecy God has given us to dispense his life, his light, his wisdom, his power, his grace in all its multifaceted dimensions. And I assure you in the name of Jesus Christ that every encounter, including that of tonight, will be a destiny-defining experience in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, we're honored to finally be making the official announcement for Sound of Revival UK. It's taken us... Now, let me say a few things before I ask the media to put up the bills. I want to thank you for your prayer. It takes a lot to do what we do, particularly because we have a mandate to take the Sound of Revival across Europe. And sometimes it takes a lot. There are so many factors that come into determining the city, the venue, logistics, and so on and so forth. And then because of the size of what we do, it takes a lot. So it's not just about selecting a place, the availability of the venue, timing, and so many things. This is why sometimes there's a little delay in bringing the announcement. And so I want to thank all of us, particularly to those of us in Europe, for your patience. Many people have called, others have gone ahead to register, but we're really, really excited. By the grace of God, we're happy to see what God is doing. So this year, by God's grace, we're in Liverpool. We're in Liverpool this year. And a series of Sound of Revival will start from UK, then to Canada, and then we'll end at US. It used to be UK, then US, then Canada, but there are slight adjustments. So we're starting with UK, then the next will be Toronto, and then we'll end in Atlanta. So by the grace of God, the date, usually we do Thursday, Fridays, but this time around we're doing Friday, Saturday. So please, all of you in UK and across Europe and all who plan to attend and connect, of course, online, please take note. It's Friday the 22nd and then Saturday the 23rd of May. Praise the name of the Lord. So we're doing Friday 22nd and Saturday. So it's a Friday night, Saturday morning, and Saturday night. And we're using the M&S Bank Arena, the M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool. Beautiful stadium. And that's where we'll be having the Sound of Revival for this year. It's going to be an extraordinary time. I was talking a few days ago with my dear friend and brother, Pastor Nat, and we're just really just celebrating God and reminiscing on the, you know, watching this vision evolve and seeing what Sound of Revival has become to the body of Christ and to the nations. And it's very humbling how a simple act of obedience can grow into something that is making a global impact. Okay, so that's the auditorium there. That's a stadium that we'll be using in Liverpool. Praise the name of the Lord. So we trust God for an extraordinary encounter. Please, everyone, make sure that all roads lead to Liverpool. So from London to Birmingham, Milton Keynes, where else? Manchester, and all across, you know, even Germany, France, everywhere across Europe. And then, of course, for those who are coming from Africa, all across, let's converge there. We've been praying, and from the prophetic indications we're getting, we trust that this will be about the most impactful edition, particularly because of the global trends. The things that are happening across the globe, I believe that God has positioned us and positioned this platform to be a very prophetic vehicle through which he will birth revival. We have seen fruits from the past editions. It's incredible the testimonies that have come, not just of miracles, of healings, and so on and so forth. I'm sure that when the media prepares the video montage announcing this, hopefully they'll be able to capture a few things that reflect what God has done in times past, the previous editions, but more importantly, the transformation. You know, Europe at a point, and this is fairly speaking, was plunging into a state of spiritual decline, particularly the Gen Zs. Most of them were, it seems like there's been a generational programming to make one generation, corporately speaking, to reject anything God, anything church. You know, a time came when you go to church, you just find the old people, older people. They're the ones who are right there. And most people just, they do apps, they do sports, they do music, they do any other thing but God. And God has graciously used the Sound of Revival alongside many other prophetic programs across the European space for this context to restore people. I can tell you testimonies of people who have returned back, churches that have benefited from the harvest of these that we're doing. It's a huge sacrifice. You can imagine what it takes to host a global program like this. It takes a lot. And I'm not just speaking in terms of finances, the logistics, the planning, but like we sang, we will stretch ourselves and be spent because one, he gave us the mandate, but because number two, we love the Lord and we love his people. And for as long as we're alive, would continue to make our contribution towards Kingdom Come in this territory. It should not be in our lifetime that the faith would decline in Europe. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. Once upon a time as children, we watched those who had gone before us. They labored, they gave their best, and we were beneficiaries of their sacrifices. They modeled the path for us that it was possible to influence a generation with the life of God. Little did we know that by mercy, some of us will have the opportunity to wear some of these same shoes. And now that it's our turn, we must run the race, fight the fight, keep the faith with every sense of passion, vision, resilience to make sure that the purposes of God does not suffer in our lifetime. I'm saying this because this mission is not just for Koinonia. Koinonia happens to be the vehicle by grace that is bringing this prophetic revival across the nations, but it is everybody's business. And as always, let me challenge first our global family, then the believers connected to this vision, then of course the body of Christ, that when it has to do with the business of territorial revival, territorial transformation, one man is not able to do it. There will be one who leads the way, but there must be the ones who stand in prayer, prophetic intercessors, those who give to ease the burden of bearing the costs, and those who give of their time, their presence, their energy, their attention, and all of that. So we must work together. This may carry the Koinonia name, but the impact is way beyond Koinonia. I'm speaking particularly to the churches in UK and Europe. Gone are the days where people say, it's not my program, let them do it. We will now do our own. God is maturing the body to see that when God is moving and you know this is God, you plunge to it with all your heart and give your very best. There is no Koinonia soul. There is no so-so-so church soul. There is either someone who is saved or someone who is going to hell. It's as simple as that. Hallelujah. When a 36-year-old doctor gives you an injection to cure you of sickness, the body does not recognize the age of the one who gave you the injection. Once it receives the right drug, it begins to treat you. This is the kind of mentality we must carry. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So Sound of Revival, starting with UK, will bring the announcement for Toronto and for US later on. Let's focus for now. Since it's May, we just have a few weeks leading to this. And by God's grace, this year, I'll be joined as always alongside. I'll be joined by my friend, Pastor Nathaniel Bassey and William McDowell. So these two, of course, there are a few other people who will be coming around, but I mean, this is going to be an incredible time. For the registration, I honestly don't know how many spaces are available, but did you create a QR code? Is there a link there? I don't see a link there. Okay, that's what we're looking for. So we'll speak a blessing over it and then we'll just open up doors. Please, PR, let the doors be open so that as many who can register will do that right away. We're trusting God that it will be a great time. Please register on time so that we don't have you harassing our officials saying the doors have been closed. God has brought great honor to these meetings, and sometimes it's always wise and proactive to register on time. And please make sure that as you register, it means you will be there on site. Don't occupy the space and then stop other people. We don't want a situation where we have overflows of people and then the people who now registered, you know, are not able to come. So at least if for any reason you are not able to make it on site, you can relinquish your space so that those who are on the waiting list can subscribe to be part of it. But let's stretch our hands as we always do and just declare it's the sound of revival, Liverpool. We're trusting God for an exceptional time. Please lift your voice and pray that the Spirit of God will draw men from everywhere, from London, from Milton Keynes, from Birmingham, from Liverpool, everywhere, Manchester, across all of the territories connected to the United Kingdom, and then of course spreading across Europe, that there will be such a move of the Spirit this year that churches will be awakened in the name of Jesus Christ. I forgot to tell you that one of the things I sense in my heart that God wants to do through the Sound of Revival edition for this year, particularly it's been ringing in my spirit as I pray, just invest in prayer towards the conference, is setting the captives free and then bringing graces, impartation of graces. You cannot function as God's end time witness without accessing the requisite graces. Sincerity is not enough. Sincerity of heart cannot fund the revival that is coming. It will take, in addition to sincerity, you must access the graces that are needed. Praise the name of the Lord. So we bless the poster. Please spread it. Let it go far. Let it go wide. As many people, put it on your pages and let the world know that God is moving again through the platform of the Sound of Revival. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Now, this is on a serious note. This one is a word of caution. But usually I don't talk about a lot of things, you know, but this has, my attention has been drawn, and I need to say this publicly to people who use my face and my voice to publish materials that sometimes are inconsistent with our belief, our values, and what we stand for. It's been unfortunate. I've been sent videos where I am purportedly teaching about things related to salt, related to pepper, related to some, you know, things that people do around their homes. Now, isn't it foolish that those who do these things know me and they cannot listen to the message that will set them free? Are we together now? I know that we are in an AI age. Usually when people say all kinds of things online, and I don't waste my time with all of those things, but once it affects, if it is to my personality, I care less. But once it begins to affect the gospel and affects the growth of believers, now that becomes a concern for me. Many of those who do these things are not Nigerians. Most of them are across the African continents, and the truth is that for most of them, they are not really looking for teachings. They are looking for traffic. Let me speak for 1 minute to bloggers, YouTubers. Let me tell you this. You can make money with a good conscience. Are we together? You don't have to tear down people because you are looking for traffic. And once they find out that you have the influence, people like you, and people can receive from you, they just get up and put anything, stamp your name, stamp your voice, on issues that are not even your business. Quite honestly, they don't care who it blesses or who it deceives. All they want to do is to see that number, that algorithm, enough to send something from Google AdSense to their account at the end of, and it's not supposed to be so. Your wealth becomes a curse to you if you bring down the program of God so that you can have $100, $1,000 to your pocket. It shouldn't be. Hallelujah. And it's unfortunate some of the people who do these things. If the effect was just on me, I wouldn't really bother. But where you begin to mislead a lot of people, there are people everywhere, they see my photo or they hear my voice, they just trust whatever they hear, and they've opened up their heart. That's the implication of influence. And you have to protect the trust that the people have invested in you as a man of God. And so some of these people just prey on opportunities and then take advantage of all of this and begin to use those, you know, those voices, those AI-generated things. For those of you who are part of this vision, you'll be disappointing if you are deceived, because you already know what we stand for. We have made with clarity beyond confusion what we stand for, the core of our beliefs and how we communicate. But for the sake of those who are sincerely looking for Jesus, you can imagine someone hearing my voice, for an example, and getting happy that he's found my message. Maybe he was referred to by someone, and then they find a deceptive message. I've had people send messages to say, "Apostle, I'm a bit confused because my mother or my sister introduced me to your teachings, and I was so blessed, but I listened to another of your teachings, and what was being taught, it was inconsistent with the doctrine of Christ, inconsistent with the way and the pattern, inconsistent with..." There are things when you hear and see online, manipulation for gain, that is not me. Tearing down other men of God, that is not me. Insulting the body of Christ for gain, that is not me. Mentioning the names of people to tear them down, that is not me. You never find that, not me, not even connected to this ministry. Are we together? Dishonor to the body of Christ, that is not me. Dabbling into political issues without knowledge, that is not me. You don't find me do that. Because influence is an aggregate of the trust of many people. And every leader must learn that when people give you the gift of loyalty, you owe it to protect it as you do the things that you do, as you navigate the political space. Doesn't mean to speak out when you shouldn't, when you should. But there is wisdom. There is a time to speak. Are we together? So I'm saying this openly. What will do, media? I will give the media permission. Please gather all these pages. Gather the names of the people. Is that a good idea? We have the influence to make it happen. So gather all of these pages. Publish their names and the site on Tuesday or Wednesday. So everybody look out on Tuesday. Maybe Tuesday by evening, you have my permission. Body of Christ, let's come and see those who are really trying to sabotage the program of God. And I really mean it. I really mean it. So media, gather, put all of these pages and the names. By God's grace, we have professionals who work with YouTube and all of this. And we need, you see, sometimes when we keep quiet, it's not weakness. By the mercy of God and by the help that God has given, there is no way we cannot access to the highest of the highest of authorities to do the things that we do. But sometimes we become all things to all men so that we win Christ. Silence is not weakness. By the grace of God, we have the influence, the resources, the machinery, and the spread to create any effect we want to. So when people do a lot of foolish things and go scot-free, it is not victory to them. It's a revelation of their weakness. So we look at them from the lens of compassion. Are we together now? But some of these things should not be abused. So at least for these ones, because it has affected the gospel, oh, that one now is not... Once you touch the gospel, I'm not your friend again. If you say I'm stupid, no problem, I am not. Simple, that's the answer. If you say I'm foolish, no problem, I am not. Are we together now? If you say I'm Beelzebub, no problem, I am not. That's just the answer. But if you say Jesus Christ should be accursed, that one you have called my attention into a fight that I have to be interested. And if I fight you, you will lose. You will lose. It's not pride. Honestly, it's not pride. You will lose. You believe me. If I fight you, you will lose. You will lose. you will so lose that your life will be a memorial to people. So I'm saying this, sorry for sounding proud, but I just have a responsibility to do this. Let's make sure that we manage ourselves and manage our emotions. Look for money in a responsible way. Bloggers, YouTubers, what channels? I don't know some of them, but just don't follow Koinonia to find or follow to be blessed. If you don't like us, go away. Go and look for somebody you like. But if you are going to follow, then settle down and listen. You know, that's what the scribes and the Pharisees did. They wouldn't let Jesus be. He organizes a crusade, they are there, but they will not be blessed. So go away and create space for those who are looking for God. It's all right not to like what we are doing. That's okay. But just go away. Go and find what pleases your convictions and stay there. But do not become an interruption to what God is doing in the life of serious people. Praise the name of the Lord. I think that's a good announcement. Eh? So, let me say it again so that you don't think it's a mistake. Media, on Tuesday, I give you the assignment, and other sons and daughters here who are part of the media, work together, gather all those pages that bring a lot of reproach, just put them, and we're going to tell people, that's not me. I'm not saying gather the pages of people who hate me. I'm not interested in those who hate me. I'm talking about those who manipulate these things for gain. Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. So on Tuesday, we'll publish it. So and so person, this is what he has done. Where did I teach? Is it in your congregation? Where did I teach on salt and pepper and turning around and doing all of this? You will now put it there. And while we are doing all of these things, please let me say it. DSS, help me and be watching. All these other groups, help me and be watching. For those who misbehave and go scot-free, I don't know how far mercy will continue to speak, but I'm saying it openly. The day the lamb becomes a lion, nobody should beg. Because it's both lion and lamb. There are many people who misbehave on social media, and then when they sense that trouble will arise, they start calling people and calling fathers to be begging in the secret. Oh, forget about this one. It's just a small boy. If he's a small boy, he should learn. A small boy who tries to behave like an adult will face the consequences of an adult. Are we together? So please, let's know that we are serving God. The work of ministry is not because we don't have what to do with our lives. We are not dummies. By God's grace, we become promoters of God's program. And you know, most of the people who do these things, all they have is just their phone and the laptop. Some of them, their parents are just trusting God for them to rise. By the time you take a step now, is there mothers and fathers that would kneel down and say, forgive my foolish child, forgive my foolish daughter. You see that now? And sometimes when you look at the pain that they will cause for their families and so many people, you feel just pain in your heart and you say, please let them go. Somebody did something one time, and one of the, you know, a top politician within the country, the state, called me and said, Apostle, so-and-so person did this thing. I'm angry. I want to take this personally and deal with the person. I said, no, Your Excellency, you don't need to do that. No. There are some behaviors that just reveal the inferiority of mentorship. It doesn't just show that maybe the people are bad. It's just that you've not been mentored holistically. So let's give them a chance to grow. But where it affects the gospel, no, that one is not, it's not a good thing, right? If not one day now, those guys will create an AI and they'll create you doing, and you know one thing with social media is that when people damage your reputation, they will not apologize in public. They will apologize in private, whereas other people keep getting deceived by what they have done. You see how it works? So they will gather people and come and beg in secret. They will call fellow pastors, call fellow people and say, please, just don't worry, don't, for the sake of the body of Christ. The people too should behave well for the sake of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. How did I get here? Okay, Tuesday. So media on Tuesday, we need to stop those people. Ordinarily, I won't waste my time with those things, but I think these guys at least on behalf of, there are other people that they may do those things to, but they may not have the capacity to do what we are doing. God has given us the influence, and once it is time to use it, at least to make sure we bring stability to the gospel, we will do so. Praise the name of the Lord. So we'll allow the worship team. Do I go and sit down 10 minutes? So I'll sit down for 10 minutes and allow them do that song. Then I'll come out and we'll preach. Pray in the spirit, everybody. God bless you. Very quickly.
in or to the left. Salvation belongs to the one who sits on the throne. In or to the left. Say, salvation belongs. There is no other name under heaven that is given unto man by which he must be saved. Salvation belongs. Who sees?
Let's celebrate the worship team. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's get to the business of tonight. Tonight, I want to teach you how to make dominion a functional reality in your life. I want to show you by the wisdom of Scripture how to walk into the reality of your possession and how to make that which is finished in Christ become a functional reality in your life. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. I'm teaching tonight on the good fight of faith. The good fight of faith. Three scriptures very quickly. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 24. The good fight of faith. Making dominion a functional reality. It says, rise ye up, take your journey, and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given into your hand Sihon, the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his land. Then he says, begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. Take note of that statement. I have given into your hand the kings and their land. But you rise up knowing that I have given you. You begin to possess it and to contend with him in battle. Let's look at the Amplified rendition of the same scripture. Amplified Deuteronomy 2:24. Well, NIV. Let's see. I just want to see what any other version says. NIV, NLT. Okay. It says, set out now and cross the Arnon Gorge. See, I have given to your land Sihon the Amorite, the king of Heshbon, and his country. Now take note. It says, begin to take possession of it and engage him in battle. Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 17. Only one chapter, verse 17. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, popular scripture, and there shall be holiness. And then the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. Take note of the word possess their possessions. The last two words, it is their possessions, but they must possess their possessions. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. This is Paul speaking to his son Timothy in the gospel, and he encourages him to fight the good fight of faith. Now, contextually speaking, what Paul was referring to here has to do with the labor to preserve sound doctrine. So Paul's communication to Timothy from a contextual standpoint has to do with the battle against false doctrine. Are we together? Yeah, but then it extends also to mean the fight that brings every spiritual resource that God has made available to the believer to be made manifest in experience. Because I think in 2 Timothy, is it 2 Timothy 4 or thereabout, Paul now says, I have fought the good fight of faith. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So he did not just tell Timothy to fight the good fight of faith in terms of preserving doctrine 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, let me lay a foundation and let it come as a reminder that for you to excel in the kingdom, it's important that you have a very thorough knowledge of certain spiritual realities. Please lend me your attention. The believer will never be able to walk in dominion practically, functionally, if you are ignorant of certain spiritual realities. Among them is the knowledge of God. You must have a revelation of who God is. That's why I asked the worship team to sing for us that song. It says, salvation belongs to our God, you know, and to the one who sits upon the throne. I think you find that in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 10. I think I'm right. 4 and verse 10. Give it to us. What they just sang now. And the 4 and 20 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever, saying this and that and that and that. So the worship is to him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb. Your excelling in the kingdom, generally speaking, depends foundationally on the depth of your revelation of who God is and who Jesus Christ is, his son. And in fact, who the Holy Spirit is. It's important that you understand the triune Godhead. 2 years ago, we picked a series that unfortunately we couldn't finish, the foundational doctrines of the Christian faith. But at least we did part 1, 2, and 3. And you may want to make reference to it, where we teach about the Godhead. It's important to know who God is, to know who the Father is as God Almighty, to know who the Son is, Jesus Christ, as Savior, as Lord, and as Christ, and to know who the Holy Spirit is. Your journey to excellence in the Spirit will not even happen if you do not have knowledge of God. You can have knowledge of every other thing, but your knowledge of God, and by God, I mean understanding the triune Godhead functionally, your knowledge of God the Father as Creator, your knowledge of Jesus as Savior, as Lord, and as Christ, the knowledge of the Holy Spirit as the custodian of the wisdom, the power of God, the one who strengthens the believer to function in dominion. And the Bible is very clear as to their distinct ministries. But there are certain things, by way of recap, that I have taught you in knowing God. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And it says the knowledge of the holy, that is understanding. Your understanding is yet unfruitful until you encounter the God of the Bible. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Daniel chapter 11:32, but the people that do know their God, the B part, they shall be strong, strength, capacity, stamina, and they shall do exploits. John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God. There are false gods, but that they may know thee, the only true God. And perhaps I may have pointed out to you here that there are many things that have tried to be God and still try to be God in the life of everyone, including a believer. For an unbeliever, there are idols, traditional practices, Satan masquerading as different things, elements of culture trying to be God. But for the believer, there are certain things that try to be God. Number one is your belly. The Bible says, whose God is their belly? Number two, mammon. You cannot serve God and mammon. Number three, you know, the flesh or self. All of these try to be God. I'm putting perspective to John 17, 3. And this is life everlasting, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And if you care to lend your ears to this recap, in teaching you about God, I taught you that the greatest way to know God is by studying his nature and his character. That's not the only way, but the greatest, the richest way to have an experiential knowledge of God, a theological knowledge of God, a doctrinal understanding of God, is to study his character. The two other ways we know God is by studying his works or his wisdom, and then by studying his power. So we know God essentially by studying his nature and character, then by studying his wisdom and principles, and then by studying his works or by studying his power. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us at least seven things about God that brands God in a very distinct way. These are theological foundations as to the knowledge of God. I'm digressing to lay this foundation because it is very important for you to know how to walk in dominion. Dominion is not just a product of the knowledge of principles. It starts with the knowledge of a person, then the principles that person has put in place. You can learn principles and not know God. So when spirits come in to manipulate principles, it takes the knowledge of God to override their operations. It never said the people that know the ways shall do exploits. It said the people that do know, they are God. Principles only function when demonic spirits don't alter them. You've heard me teach that. 1 + 1 in principle should always be 2. But 1 + 1 plus demonic interference can be -100. Are you seeing that now? A diligent hand in principle should always be prosperous. A diligent person should never lack bread, but a diligent person whose destiny has been hijacked by demonic forces will not amount to the rewards that follow diligence. So you must go beyond the knowledge of principles to the knowledge of God. And I did tell you a number of things about God. Classically, we call God the self-existent one. That is one quality of God, one quality that brands God as God. That God is eternal. God is self-existent. It's a very profound quality of God. What does it mean to be self-existent? You don't outsource life from any other space. Man has to depend on God. All life forms biologically have to depend on God. But God does not depend on any entity for his survival. Are we together now? You take a fish out of water, it dies. You uproot a tree from the ground, it dies. You take away man from the presence of God, he dies. But God does not need any other thing to support his living. He is self-existent. God is omniscient, meaning he knows all things. I told you, God does not improve in knowledge. God does not study to learn. God does not undergo transformation. These things don't exist with God. God's knowledge is not progressive. He does not see in part. He knows all things. There's no such thing as future or past with God. His realm is now. You see it now. So what is tomorrow to you? What is next year to you? It's only fragmented to help you understand the operations of God upon the earth. But God does not dwell. He's Alpha, Omega. The beginning is there. Tomorrow he can go into yesterday and go into tomorrow. Everything lies bare before him. Is a mystery that the human mind cannot comprehend. God is omnipotent. What does it mean? The word potent or potency is a measure of power. He is all powerful. Man is not all powerful. No. Man's power is in measures and it is derived from a relationship. God does not need to relate with any other entity to be powerful. He is omnipotent. Is someone learning now? Yes. God does not need anointing. What does he need it for? The concept of anointing is his way of empowering man to function like him. Jesus only needed the anointing when he became man. Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. It's important for you to understand this. God does not fight. It looks like God fights, but he does not fight. He issues commands, and it is so. It is men who now fight out their ways. God never fought Satan. It's never shown in the Bible. When he passed a decree, it was Michael that fought Satan. The battle that happened was when Jesus became a man and he went to Hades. Is someone learning now? There are certain attributes of God you must know. So he is omniscient. He knows all things. Your future. And that's why when he tells you to relax, trust him. It's because he has seen the end. Are we together? That he knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you and that they are thoughts of peace and not of evil to bring you a future and an expected end. Jeremiah 29:11. He says that upon the awareness that the end is victory. Number three, God is omnipresent. It's a very profound quality of God. Omnipresent means he does not need to move to be in a location. He has an all-seeing eye. His presence is everywhere. I'm right now in this auditorium. I'm not in London. Maybe online, yes. Internet has been able to create a sense of omnipresence. But as a person, you cannot be everywhere at the same time. You can't even be in two places at the same time. Maybe three, I won't say you can't be in two places at the same time. You can stand at the border of two cities, one leg in, one leg out, and you are in both places. But you can't stand in three places at the same time. Maybe, who knows? Maybe you can stand, I don't know, geography. But one thing I know is that you can't be everywhere at the same time. But God is omnipresent. But there are other attributes of God, like the Bible teaches. Let me give you four of them just for knowledge. Are you learning anything? God is spirit. This is a very profound revelation of God. In trying to learn God, you must know that God is spirit. He said that in John 4:24. Remember, with the woman at the well, God is spirit. God is spirit. This is very profound. Numbers 23:19. What does that mean, God is spirit? I'll tell you the implication. The meaning of God is spirit is that he's not a man. The weaknesses of men does not apply to him. One of it is that men lie. Men do not lie because they are bad. Men lie because they are men. There are times a lie is not just an untrue statement intentionally said to deceive. That's one definition of a lie. But a lie is proposing something you do not have the capacity to make manifest. It is a lie. And we're saying God as God does not have that limitation. I can tell you by God's grace, I'm coming to your house by 8 o'clock tomorrow. And something can happen. We always say events beyond our control. With respect to my integrity, I lied. Even though I can give a justification for it. But if you are judging me by my word, I told you a lie. I said I was coming, you prepared, and I did not come. The reasons notwithstanding. But we are saying that God is spirit. The meaning of that is that all the limitations that happen with men by reason of wearing a mortal body, it does not apply to God. God is holy. This is very profound. It's from the Hebrew word kadosh. The word holy means to be set apart. It's the word consecrated. And the idea is that there is no guilt and there is no deception. When we say God is holy, it's not measuring holiness in terms of the presence or absence of sin. Are we together? It is rather about the extent and the purity of his integrity. God has integrity. It's one of the greatest measure of holiness, integrity. Same within as without. The Bible says, in whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. That means God does not play 419. He does not play jokes. Integrity. That's where the word integer comes. Integrity. How many of you know that... Anyway, let me leave that. I wanted to give an analogy with mathematics, but I don't want to just walk on our minds. God is holy. He's set apart. That quality is beyond sinlessness. We're not just saying he cannot sin or he's pure. There's a difference between purity and holiness. Purity is derived from holiness, but holiness goes way beyond purity. It's the quality of being the same within and without. No guile. Are we together now? That means when God speaks to you, because he's holy, you can trust him. He's not going to change his word. Next revelation of God is that God is light. God is light. God is light. God is light. The meaning of that is that there can be no deception in him. The meaning of that is that darkness cannot stand in his presence. The meaning of that is that nothing can hide from his presence. The Bible does not say God has light. It said God is light. And you know, the Bible says that he dwells in unapproachable light. The meaning of that is that there is no part of your life you can hide from him. Not only is he omnipresent, is that he is light. The Bible defines light as that which makes manifest. Anything that reveals what is hidden is called light. But the greatest and the richest quality of God, as revealed in Scripture, is not even his omnipresence. Please, everybody, listen. If they ask you, what is the greatest attribute of God? Don't say he's all-powerful. God does not consider that his greatest attribute. When they tell you what is the greatest attribute of God, it is not his wisdom. God does not consider that his greatest attribute. The greatest attribute of God is that God is love. Write that down for your education. God is love. 1 John chapter 4, when you read from verse 7 down to 12, this is the greatest, most promoted attribute of God. Because the greatest demonstration of his Godship was not just demonstrated in power, but in love. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Say that after me. God is love. One more time. God is love. Now, verse 9. It says, herein, give us verse 9, media. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might have life through him. Verse 10. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. You may want to extend it to verse 12, really. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. The final verse, verse 12. No man had seen God at any time, but if we love one another, is proof that God dwells in us and his love has been perfected in us. So the proof that you really carry God is not just power, it's not just wisdom, is that his love can flow through you to others. Is someone learning? The greatest attribute of God that the believer must know and the believer must manifest is love. If you are learning so far, say amen. So I'm saying that there are certain things we need to know, spiritual realities, in order to walk in dominion. One of it, I said, is the knowledge, the revelation of God. Number two, the second foundational knowledge we must know is why we were created. You will be surprised that many believers cannot tell you from a biblical standpoint why they were created. Walking in dominion will be a useless pursuit for you if you do not know why you were created. Understanding why we were created reveals our mandate. It reveals how we were going to function. Based on the law of first mention, we go to Genesis chapter 1 from verse 26 to 28. That's where the concept of man was mentioned in the Bible and why he was created. The Bible says, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. The word image there means our nature, our character. The word likeness means to function like us. Likeness talks about functionality, to speak like God, to do things like God, to be creative like God. That is functioning like God. And then the image of God talks about the nature of God, which was embodied in Christ. And it says, let them have dominion, take note of that word, over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle and the earth, and everything that creeps upon the earth. And then he spoke to us in verse 28, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. Let me summarize for you very quickly. Why did God create man? There are four major reasons for the creation of man, interwoven in one statement, but let me try and break it. Number one, God created man as an extension. Please listen very carefully. As an extension of his nature, as an extension of his government upon the earth. God created man as an extension of his nature and an extension of his government upon the earth. An extension of his nature. In fact, the highest revelation of God's nature on earth is man. Write that down. The highest revelation of God's nature on earth are not plants, they are not animals. All of them carry pieces and portions of God, as we see in trees, as we see. That's why the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. But the highest and the richest revelation of God on earth is man. If you want to see and know about God thoroughly upon the earth, study the man he created, especially the man who has now allowed himself. Are you seeing that? To the degree to which you allow yourself to be refined, that is the degree to which you look like God to your world. The Bible calls us living epistles. Now, when you study the fallen man, he does not give you a correct picture of who God is. Is someone learning? We were created by God to be an extension of his nature, to be an extension of his government upon the earth. Other extended assignments, were created to know him, because it is in knowing him that we're able to relate with him. God wanted and always desired to create a family. A family. God is a family-oriented God. And he decided and desired to create a family. A family that is a replica of his person. For relationship. For dominion. We were created to know him. Next, we're created to love him. Next, we were created to worship him. And then, of course, with respect to our corporate mandate, this one is not just that we are created, but now we are saved, which extends as part of our assignment. We are saved, not just to reveal his glory, but to draw men to the saving knowledge of him. We are not just created to draw men to him, because when man was created, the fall had not happened. But in God's predeterminate counsel, he knew that it would happen. And already plan was already in place. So when man fell, all that happened from Genesis chapter 3, 4 up until Jesus came and died and resurrected by the glory of the Father, all of that was a restorative process. Please look up. I hope you know from Genesis chapter 1, 2 up until the fall of man, everything that happened from Genesis 3 when man fell up until the resurrection of Jesus, Acts chapter 2, verse 1. All that thing that happened was simply a restorative process. The prophets, the law, parables, poetry, everything was an adumbration of what Jesus was going to come and do. The restorative process officially happened when Jesus resurrected and the dispensation of the Holy Ghost started with the first fruit of 3,000 people. Are we together now? From that time up until now, we are in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. So from the Old Testament up until Jesus came, it was a dispensation of the Father. When Jesus came all through his earth work for about 3.5 years, it was a dispensation of the Son. From the day of Pentecost up until now is the dispensation of the Spirit. And the operations are different. It's important for you to know this. You need to know why we were created. To be an extension of his life, his image, to be an extension of his government on earth. Now, our corporate mandate is found in 1 John, John chapter 1 from verse 6 to 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. But you can put your name there. Whose name was Joshua Selman? Whose name was Koinonia? The Bible says, verse 7, this is the mandate. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that men through him might believe. That men through him might believe. That men through your profession might believe. That men through your resources might believe. That men through your preaching might believe. That men through your singing might believe. That men through your creativity might believe. If men do not believe, what you have is useless to the kingdom. The value of anything you have, from skill to beauty to talent to anointing, is that you cause men through the channel of what he's given you to believe. To believe in Jesus is called the saving knowledge. There is the saving knowledge, the knowledge that leads on to their salvation. Because he desires that all men be saved and that they come unto the knowledge of the truth. If you are learning, say amen. Now, very quickly, the third thing you need to know in order to walk in victory is to be aware of the provisions that have been made available for you in Christ. So I said, number one, you must have a revelation of God. Number two, you must understand man and know why God created man. That we were created to be an extension of the image, the life, and the government of Jesus Christ upon the earth. That through the efficiency of our witness today, we will bring many to the saving knowledge of Jesus, and then we will immerse our territory to adopt and live by the value system of the kingdom. The Bible says that the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, as waters cover the sea. Is someone learning now? But in addition to these two, you must be aware of the provisions and the promises that are available in Christ for a victorious life. Oh, this is powerful. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Give it to us, that by these ye might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Apostle Peter is teaching us now. 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 and 4. Verse 4 particularly, wherefore, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. So, watch this. To achieve this mission of dominion, to achieve this mission of being a witness, to achieve this mission of being an extension of God's government, there are certain provisions, please listen, believers, there are certain provisions that were made available for us in Christ. The Bible calls them all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us. Say, I've been blessed. Shout it like you're learning. Say, I've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, you must end in Christ. In Christ is the passcode for access. Once you remove in Christ, you don't have access to anything again. The way to access all things in the spirit is in Christ. Wisdom in Christ. Favor in Christ. Authority in Christ. Outside of Christ, you have no access, because it is his righteousness you have. It is of his fullness you have received. Is someone learning now? You must be aware of the provisions. So God did not leave us with the dream or the mandate of walking in dominion, walking in victory, extending his influence, his government, bringing nations under subjection to him, influencing cultures and systems with the value system of the kingdom. It would be a failed project if these provisions were not in place. Whenever you are giving somebody a mandate, after telling somebody the message, what do you give the person? The resources. Am I right on that? The resources. When the military goes to fight war, the first thing is an awareness of the mission. And then they receive the strategy. They call it operation whatever. They can call it operation Scorpion Sting. They're defining the operation anything. Once they define it, the next thing is they have to give them the equipping. Am I right on that? You don't get up and put your hands in your pocket and say, I'm a military man, I was trained in NDA, and stand in the middle of terrorists and say, all of you come out. What will happen to you? What you lack is not skill. What you lack is the resources. Have you seen any policeman coming to stand where they are still and say, what's going on there? And he just put his hand in his pocket. And you are hearing guns firing around. And he say, well, let me just put my head and check. No. There are weapons. You are not left with a mandate alone. There is an equipping. There are resources. Most times we are aware of the mandate, but we are not aware of the resources that have been given to us. So we go empty-handed. And when we stand and say, I have dominion, I want to walk in dominion, life will now say, so where are the resources? Where are the tools that make for the dominion? He equipped us. Promises, resources. The Bible calls them exceeding great and precious promises. Now, let me tell you how God equipped us. There are three levels of this equipping. You want to write that down. How God equipped a believer to walk in dominion. There are three levels of this equipping. Number one, the first way he equipped us was giving us access to superior knowledge. Please write it down. The first way God equips men to walk in dominion is to give them access to superior knowledge. You are equipped to the degree to which you have superior knowledge. Number two, the way God equipped us was to give us access to the Holy Spirit and the divine resources that come with his presence. Write that down. So access to superior knowledge by the word. Number two, access to the person of the Holy Spirit alongside the divine resources that come with his presence. And by now, you should know what I'm talking about. Resources of wisdom. Resources of power. Are we together? Resources of favor. Grace is in all its definition. The third way God equips us. Are we together? Is to create promises. The promises. Promises that commit him to step in over our lives. There are things he said, if you do, he will come. Leviticus chapter 9 and verse 6. This is what the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. So the third way God empowers us is to give us access to the knowledge of his promises. We can have the knowledge of his person, superior knowledge, but you need to know his ways and how to activate those ancient paths that lead you to the place of power. That's why he said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am life. He didn't say I'm the way alone. He didn't say I'm the truth alone. He didn't say I'm life alone. I am the way, I am truth, and I am life. Who is learning? Look at me, believers. If your life fails to manifest dominion today, right now, dominion in all its ramifications, spiritually, are we together? Financially, in terms of influence, in terms of your health, I can tell you the problem is not the integrity of God. That's why I took out time to define for you who God is, based on his qualities. God is holy, God is righteous, God is faithful, and he's true. Why then is it that our lives seem to show as if God told a lie? As if he made a proposition to raise witnesses and mighty men, and later went behind and is betraying us with his presence or the absence of his presence. The reason is because we do not know the provisions that have been made available for us in Christ, nor how to activate them. Provisions. Provisions. If you do not know how to access wisdom, you can be in Christ and your life will not work. If you do not know how to activate favor, you can be in Christ and your life will not work. If you do not know the value of competence and skill, like we prayed, these are the resources that come with his presence. I'm praying for you that from the things I'm going to be sharing with you now, in the name of Jesus, where you have been found wanting, where Satan has taken advantage of you, so that although you are in Christ, it looks like there's nothing to show. I pray for you, as you find these keys tonight, you will begin to walk in the experience of victory. Shout amen like you are receiving. These are the days where you do not just say you are a Christian, you show you are a Christian. These are the days where you don't just profess before men, I love God, you show. You don't just say I am powerful, you show. You don't just say I have a deep relationship with Christ, you show. The Bible says that we have been called out of darkness into light to show forth the excellencies of him that has called us from darkness to light. Showing forth is the word doxazo, a display, a manifestation of the wealth, the riches, the wisdom, the glory of God. Provisions. The knowledge of these exceeding great and precious promises, that by them we might be partakers of his divine nature. That means the difference between any two believers, or one of the differences between any two believers, is their access to the knowledge of the provisions that have been made available for us in Christ to live a life of dominion and to live a life of victory. Hallelujah. When you know the provisions that are available in Christ, the final thing for this teaching tonight that you need to know, please write it down, is you need to understand the administration and the activation systems for these promises to work. Or the activation protocol, I would use that word. The administration and the activation protocol for these promises to work. You need to know the administration system and the activation protocol for the promises to work. Oh, please listen to me, believers. Knowing what God has given you is wonderful enough, but not enough to bring you in victory. You need to understand how dominion is administered, how these promises are administered. Look at me, everybody. How many of you know that having been aware that someone has transferred 1 million naira into your account is wonderful to know? It's now in your account. Am I right on that? Number two, knowing that you can use an ATM to withdraw that cash is a wonderful knowledge. Number three, having the ATM in your hand, now you are aware. You are aware that someone deposited the money. You are aware that it can be accessed through the bank or through ATM in this instance. And how many of you know you can hold your ATM? You are this close to receiving your cash. But how many of you know that if you do not know how to slot the card, how to punch the numbers? Are we together? You can slot your card and punch nonsense. 3 times, it will swallow your card. You will now call the person who sent the money and say, you deceived me. And the person says, what are you saying? Check your account balance. And you will see your account balance is still writing plus 1 million. The problem is not the integrity of the... He's done his own part. It was you and your ignorance in front of the ATM that caused that delay. So what do you need to do? You need to call an officer, usually sent from that man or someone else, to come and help you. They have a way they remove the ATM and then they teach you how to use it. If your ATM fails to withdraw, either the card is expired or you do not know how to punch it, or there are a few times when there's no money there. But in this example, let's assume everything is fine. from the standpoint of the giver and the bank. That's how many believers are. So we stand with our ATM and we sing all kinds of praises and we audaciously tell people, I have 1 million, just as an example. You guys, we even ask those who need to receive it to stand with us. Then we slot the card and we do not know how to operate it. It says they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. So for an example, you call everybody and say, gather yourselves together. The healing power of Jesus is available here. When he rose from the dead, he purchased for us healing. And you gather the sick people and you say, now I am going to draw healing from Jesus Christ by his spirit and administer it to you. The people are waiting there. And then you do everything you know to do. And you read from scripture, by his stripes I am healed. And at the end of that meeting, nobody gets healed. Nobody gets touched. And you see, that act of failure becomes an indictment to God's integrity. Because those who live disappointed now cannot understand. It's the reason why we must understand the administrative system and the activation protocols. Many times the bank will send you your card in an envelope. Am I right on that? Maybe your MasterCard or Visa card, and then they will send it with a little instruction. Punch this, this, go to the ATM, punch this, punch that. From that time, your ATM begins to work. And there are those who can use that card so well. They will hold that card and stand in front of anything and just swipe the thing with authority. No plan for embarrassment. They are aware of how much is there. They are aware that the card should work. They are surprised if it does not work. They will blame the people and say, maybe it's your POS that is not working. But if it's my card is fine. I pray for you. You will begin to walk your life with a level of mastery. You will be surprised when results don't happen. I pray for you in the name of Jesus. From tonight, fear dies. From tonight, trial and error dies. Step into a realm of mastery. Mastery in ministry. Mastery in your finances. Mastery in your health. In the name of Jesus Christ. Mastery. He that strives for mastery is not crowned unless he strives lawfully. Now, one of these activation protocols, one of these systems of administration is what I want to teach you very briefly. It's called the fight of faith. How to make realities that are finished in Christ become functional realities in your life here and now. The fight of faith. That just because it is finished in Christ does not guarantee that it will be made manifest in your life. You know, there are many people, by the time they die and meet Jesus Christ, and they happen to see how much God intended for them to live, they will cry to Christ, not because they missed out on their eternal destiny, but that they failed to maximize the fullness of the riches of Christ. When you stand before Jesus, one day he will tell you that there were 10 million people who were not supposed to die if you had gotten this revelation. But because you did not get it, these are the souls that paid the price. There are many pastors who should not have quit ministry. If you have gotten these keys financially, you would have been able to support the work and they would have stood in for Jesus. But because you did not understand how to activate these realities in the spirit, these are the consequences. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, every time you fail to complete your understanding as to how to manifest dominion, God's program suffers on earth. You just be aware of that. God's program suffers on earth. What is the good fight of faith? Paul talks to us as he spoke to his son Timothy about fighting the good fight of faith. The word good fight immediately suggests that there are bad fights. And let me define for you in passing what a bad fight is. Number one, any kind of contention that does not lead to the revelation of God's glory. Every kind of fight that does not lead to your fulfilling your destiny is a bad fight. Every kind of contention that does not lead to to the revelation of Jesus and the glorification of the same is a bad fight, a bad contention. Any kind of fight that does not lead to making your world a better place is a bad fight. Many of us are involved in many bad fights. Many bad fights. Every fight that is motivated by selfishness is a bad fight. Every fight that is motivated by flesh or lust is a bad fight. Every fight that is motivated by the influence of evil spirits is a bad fight. Motivated by flesh, bad fight. Glorifying self and Satan, bad fight. But any contention that leads to the revelation of Jesus Christ and the glorification of the same is a good fight. Any kind of contention that leads to the growth of the believer and causes the life of God to be made manifest in greater dimensions in the life of that believer is a good fight. I need to say this so that when we talk about fight, we are essentially talking about contentions, and that there is an unprofitable contention. The Bible calls it a bad fight, and then there is a good fight. Some of you have been involved in bad fights. They have depleted your energy spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and even physically. Fights with no rewards. Fights that whether you win or lose, Jesus will not be revealed. That's not just a bad fight, it's a useless fight. A battle that does not have rewards is a useless battle. When David was going to fight Goliath, he said, so that I don't waste my time, please tell me what shall be given to the man that brings down this person. He said, number one, he will marry the king's daughter. David said, I'm listening. He said, number two, his family will be exempted from tax. Number three, the king will honor him. He said, clear the way for me. I will go and fight Goliath. If these three things can happen to me, then it's a good fight. When he brought Goliath, he was not just happy that Goliath came down. He was happy because the way had been cleared for his reward. Good fight. Any useless fight, any demonically engineered fight to waste your arsenals. Look up. How many of you know that the Bible says the weapons of our warfare, and if I don't know so much, I'm not a military man. But one thing I know is that the military is stepping into a realm of what they call precision warfare, where they minimize, because it takes a lot to make these weapons. Imagine that you make, are we together, like some of the fights, unfortunately, that is going around the world now. Most of the nations are working to see that they send precision missiles, so that if you spend $1 million to build one weapon, you don't want to waste it through the carelessness of a fighter jet. You want to hit it on target. Many believers waste their weapons. You carry your weapons and deplete it on useless battles. Just when you are famished, then the real battle comes and you don't have the energy to fight again. One strategy, you find this, it was an ancient strategy of fighting war, that when people want to defeat a territory, they send their civilians and they send some of their weakest men and they deceive the people thinking that's the army. And the people keep fighting. Once they are almost done, then the real warriors, the knights, they now begin to manifest with arrows, with bows, with fires, and defeat the people. They don't lose because they were not empowered. It's that they wasted their weapons on the wrong people. Are we together? When you are fighting to defend jealousy, when you are fighting for competition, it's a useless battle. When you are fighting to glorify self, it's a useless battle. I pray for you right now. It's going to be precision victory in your life from tonight. You will know what to fight and what not to fight. Every one of you who's been involved in a bad fight, I release grace upon you right now. You will leave Satan and his trouble to go out of your life, and you will begin to fight the fight of faith. The good fight of faith. In the name of Jesus we pray. So what is the good fight of faith? Very quickly. The good fight of faith, number one, talks about the contention and the overall spiritual process that leads to establishing and manifesting victory in the life of the believer as a functional present day reality. Let me take that again. The good fight of faith talks about the contentions, and then it also talks about the overall spiritual process that leads to establishing and manifesting the victory that is in Christ now as a functional present day reality in the life of the believer. Let me take that again. When we talk about the good fight of faith in this teaching, we refer to the contentions, and then we also refer to the overall spiritual process that leads to establishing and manifesting the victory that is in Christ as a functional present day reality in the life of the believer. As a functional present dash day reality in the life of the believer. So the good fight of faith talks about the contentions, the necessary spiritual contentions, and then the overall process that leads to establishing and manifesting the victory that is already in Christ to become a functional present day reality in the life of the believer. You understand me so far? Say amen. So there's victory that's been wrought in Christ, but the contentions that you need to walk with by faith to establish and manifest that victory so that it becomes in your life a functional present day reality. That's what the Bible calls the fight of faith. The contentions. There are contentions, ladies and gentlemen. And these contentions are predicated upon certain facts. Please look up. Number one, that there is what we call the legal side of redemption, as E.W. Kenyon will call it, and the vital side of redemption. The legal side of redemption talks about realities that are finished in Christ. But the vital side talks about the dynamics of making those realities manifest. Healing is finished in Christ, but may not be finished in your body. Are we together? Blessings of all sorts may be finished in Christ, but not manifest in your body. Salvation has been finished in Christ, but there are still many people going to hell today. From the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain. The legal side of redemption. The vital side of redemption is whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. That salvation that's finished in Christ is not imputed automatically. It is at the instance of your declaring the lordship of Christ. It becomes to you a reality. Look at this. If someone rises up right now from the wheelchair, the day that person rose up from the wheelchair is not the day the healing was purchased. The healing was already purchased more than 2,000 years ago. Are we together? But that was the day that legal side became vital. The word vital means functional in the person's life. How many of you know that, God forbid, but if you have, say, fever today, or malaria, or typhoid, the drugs that will treat you is not the day you go to the hospital that the doctor looks for the drug. The drug's already been there, but the day it is administered into your body, that's the day it becomes healing for you. If you are suffering from typhoid today, every pharmacy already has the cure. But the cure in the pharmacy does not do you any good. Am I right on that? You will have to find a way of going to the hospital or getting a qualified doctor or medical practitioner to take the drugs that is on the shelf or somewhere in the lab and administer it to you in the various forms of administration. Then you will now walk into the functional reality of health. That's how it is spiritually. The good fight of faith is necessary because realities that are finished in Christ do not automatically manifest in the life of the believer. They are prophetic realities as finished in Christ, but it takes faith and the operation of the mysteries of the kingdom to make it manifest here and now. Number two, the second reason why the fight of faith is necessary is because Satan is a stubborn and a rebellious spirit. Please write that down. This is a very important aspect of this teaching. The second reason why believers need to engage the fight of faith to possess your possession is because Satan and all demon spirits are stubborn and rebellious spirits. Satan is more aware than you of what Jesus did on the cross, because he was the victim of what Jesus did. Are we together now? The principal victim, as far as the work of the cross is concerned, was Satan himself. He was defeated utterly. The keys were collected from him. So you are not trying to teach Satan what happened. The memory remains eternally etched in him of the victory that was wrought in Christ. However, because Satan is a stubborn and a rebellious spirit, he will not let you go, not without a fight. Hence the need for the fight of faith. When Satan attacks your body, he knows the scripture that says, by his stripes I am healed. When Satan attacks your children, he knows the scripture that says, the seed shall be mighty upon the earth. When Satan attacks your job, he knows the scripture that says the works of your hands should be blessed. But Satan is called Antichrist. What does that mean? He is always against the program of God. Satan does not fight you because of ignorance. He fights you because he's a rebellious spirit. And I pray for you in the name of Jesus that from this standpoint, you will wear your warfare regalia and use this year to fight until you weary the devil. Amen. Say amen. Amen. Shout amen. Amen. The fight of faith. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Herein lies the subtle deception that has produced aware but weak people in the body of Christ. The theology that neglects the reality of a fight of faith may be a sincere, well-intentioned, but poisonous theology. You will never walk in the reality of your possession until you learn how to fight the fight of faith. The fight of faith is not adding to what Jesus has done. The fight of faith is making a withdrawal from the account where deposit has been made. When you fight the fight of faith, you are not adding to what Christ has done. When you fight the fight of faith, you are in partnership, sponsored by the awareness of what Christ has done, to make good what he has done in your life in reality. The fight of faith. There are six aspects to the fight of faith. And this is the zenith of my teaching tonight. Number one. So when we talk about the fight of faith, there are six aspects to it. And if you fail to understand these six aspects, your knowledge of the fight of faith will be limited. Pray in the spirit for 1 minute. Because someone's life is about to change. Someone is learning how to fight that fight of faith and to wrought victory. For someone, you are doing this on behalf of your family. For someone, you are doing this on behalf of your children. For someone, you are doing this on behalf of all those who will come ahead of you. You are doing this on behalf of the well-intentioned people connected to you who are not aware of this understanding. 1 minute, you are praying in tongues. In Jesus' name we pray. So write this down. There are six aspects to the fight of faith. Number one, the first aspect or the first dimension of the fight of faith is the contention for accuracy of thoughts, ideas, and belief systems. Please write that down. The first dimension to the fight of faith is the contention for accuracy, or the contention to gain accuracy in your thoughts, your ideas, and your belief system. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. The contention to gain accuracy in your thoughts, in your ideas, and your belief system. Let me tell you this. The journey for transformation is a fight. It's real warfare. Because you are fighting against ancient thoughts. Some of these thoughts were transferred from generation to generation. Are we together now? The first aspect of the fight of faith, or the first dimension, is the contention to gain accuracy in thoughts, ideas, and belief systems. The Bible says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities," watch this, "against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness." No. This is not the scripture I'm looking for. "For the weapons of our warfare," give me in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4. "For the weapons," thank you. We'll come to the Ephesians 1 later on. "For the weapons of our warfare," everybody look up, "are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Let's read verse 5 together. 1, 2, read. 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That right there, ladies and gentlemen, is a fight of faith. The mindset that kept your father down, the mindset that kept your mother down, the mindset that kept your whole lineage down. Then a young boy arises one day and says, "I want to change the narrative." Satan will fight you with everything he's got. But for the one who says, "No way, I'm on this battle of transformation," while others are sleeping, you are awake. You are letting this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. It may not look like it from your lowly estate. Hear me, believers, as you submit yourself. Bible study is warfare. It's not education. It's warfare. There is a replacement going on. Satan cannot do anything about a man who has rejected the software that empowers his operation. Before Satan attacks, he sends a mindset. When you receive that mindset, that is the virus that introduces him officially to your life. When the Bible talks about the fight of faith, leave demons first. We are coming there. You can bind all the demons in this world, and Satan will leave you with joy, knowing that his software is still in you. Ladies and gentlemen, the fight of faith is not just about casting demons. There is a place for that. But the real warfare is the warfare of replacing thoughts, replacing ideas, replacing thoughts. How can I live a life of forgiveness? How can I live a life void of hatred? How can I not fight? And all it's a thought. And the devil, I told you that a stronghold, look up please. A stronghold is a belief system, a mindset that has demons guarding it to keep the victim perpetually thinking that way. That's the reason why when you advise and counsel people, they will be looking at you and say, "That's a nice idea." But they will get up and go and do exactly what you said they should not do, because it's beyond their desire. There is a stronghold that is engineering their behavior. Parents, please listen to this. You need more than counseling to set your children free from a stronghold that came as a result of external environment. The guy has watched pornography for 10 years and you are saying an advice, don't get into porn. You know it's not good for your future. He says yes. You think that will deliver him? There is already an image in his mind. There is already a program in there. All Satan needs to do is to align with seasons, biological seasons, in the life of men and women, and he would trigger that image, and the person is back again. This one will need more than counseling, I am telling you. Warfare, sir. Every time you open your Bible, just know that hell is frowning. Every time you listen to a message, just know that hell is frowning. Every time you're on your way to Koinonia, just know that the spirits that fought those who went ahead of you, that is why they will fight you with annoyance. They will fight you with petty things so that you don't go to church. You think it's quarrel between husband and wife. Satan has no business between your marriage. There's none of his business. He wants to stop you from hearing what will reprogram your mind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He knows when you keep hearing, something will happen to you. Look up, please. How did you learn most of the songs you learned? There is no book where you wrote the song. You just kept hearing. When a new album comes out, do you know how many songs are in your head? And you never learned any of them. The people who wrote the song did not preach as impactful as I'm preaching to you. Yet the song entered easily. You know why? Because the devil is not afraid of the song. But the reason why we keep preaching and preaching and it doesn't enter that easily is because there is warfare between the speaker and your spirit. If you can learn 10 songs in one day, what is it about one verse that cannot stay in your spirit? Should that not tell you there is war going on somewhere? You play a secular song, for instance, and in 5 minutes, you're already nodding, part of it, you still remember. And yet, to learn one scripture, you forget later on. You are not that dull. It is because there are spirits assigned. Every time the seed was sown, have you forgotten that as he was sowing, another farmer was waiting with seeds too? And while men slept, he also came and sowed. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, the first aspect of the fight of faith that every one of us must learn. Nobody is born transformed. Transformation is one of the labor dimensions of faith. It is hard work to be transformed because you are fighting and editing. You see, your mind does not need to be deleted because it's not everything there that is wrong. If you want to know what a deleted mind is, go to the hospital and see people who have had complete memory loss. They can't walk again. They can't talk. They can't remember their wives and their children. That's not God's goal for you. What God wants to do is an editing of the files in your mind. Files of hatred. Files of wickedness. Files of irresponsibility. Files that sponsor prayerlessness. Files that sponsor wordlessness. Files that engineer wrong confessions. Files that engineer an entitlement mentality. And the way that replacement happens is as you engage with the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, for every time you study, for every time you listen, for every time you speak, for every time you meditate, I want you to know that you are warring a good warfare by faith. It may not look like it, but you are winning. Because I told you, warfare for the believer is not fighting to see if you will win. You are manifesting because you have won. Let me tell you this. When you find a believer who is so thoroughly refined and so thoroughly transformed, make no mistakes about it. Nobody received the gift of transformation. Now, others are fortunate because the spiritual debris in their mind is less than that of others. I'll give you an example. If you come from a family that was where your parents were already born again, most likely the rubbish in your mind will not be to the degree of someone who came directly from idol worship. Are you getting the point now? There's still rubbish there, but I'm saying that to mop up that rubbish will be of less energy than somebody whose father was a herbalist, the mother was a diviner, the elder brother served the devil. You see that now? You see those kinds of things. Or he lived in a family with hatred and all kinds of things. If God ever gave you a foundation of godly parents, even if they were not enlightened, you better thank God for them because it saved you this journey. Did you hear what I said? If God granted you grace and you started going to church as a young boy, forget that you were sleeping in church. It's still better than sleeping elsewhere. Every contribution that came towards helping your journey should be appreciated now that you're in this. However, you cannot stop there. It's time to fire on all four cylinders. Some of us stopped the journey of transformation years ago. We're in a journey of complaining, regrets, and God is saying, I want to do much with your life as a man of God, as a businessman. But something in your mind is limiting the power of God. You need to get back on that warfare in the name of Jesus. You want to be Deborah? You must know what Deborah knows. You want to be Mary? You must know what Mary knows. You want to be Jesus? You must know what he knows. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He did not just win because he was the Son of God. He won because he had the mind of Christ. Hear me. Victory is a mindset before an achievement. Defeat is a mindset. You've heard me say it. A loser's mentality cannot produce a victor's destiny. No. You can have the destiny of a victor, but with a loser's mentality. No. The mindset to rise up and walk is what makes the prophecy to rise up and walk happen. The mindset of a prophet is what makes the destiny of a prophet to be activated. The mindset of a winner is what makes the destiny of a winner to walk. So when Satan cannot do anything about your prophecy, he finds the mindset that must connect to that prophecy. But in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, I pray for someone, even if this is your first step tonight, begin that fight of faith. Begin that fight of faith. Begin that warfare with scripture. In the name of Jesus. Hear me, ladies and gentlemen. While you fight that fight of faith, replacing old ideas, old anti-Christ, anti-destiny, anti-greatness ideas. Now look up. I've said it here many times, but let me repeat myself. When I talk of being transformed by superior information, with all due respect, I don't mean westernized information. Are we together? With all due respect, thinking like an American, thinking like an European, thinking like an Asian is wonderful if that thought is word compliant. When I talk of transformation, I'm talking of the word compliancy of your thoughts, not just the technological compliancy of your thoughts. You can graduate from thinking like someone who is in a low estate and think like someone who is Western, but is still an antichrist idea. And it will not work for you. So when I talk about transformation, I'm not just saying you used to use your hand to eat. Now you are using spoon, fork, and knife. Congratulations. But that is useless as far as your destiny is concerned. I'm talking about the word of God. Reprogramming your mind.
Yes. I surrender it all. Yes, I turn it all over. Yes, it all belongs to you.
This mindset you gave me is my weapon of victory.
Yes, I surrender it all. Yes, I turn it all over. Yes, it all belongs to you.
Please sit down. The first aspect of the good fight of faith is the contention to gain accuracy in thoughts, ideas, and belief systems. Number two. What is the second aspect of the fight of faith? Are you ready? The labor of establishing spiritual realities through words in prayer. The labor of establishing spiritual reality through words in prayer. That's the second aspect of this fight of faith. The prayer ministry, using words, faith-filled words, word compliant words to establish realities. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. You cannot separate dominion from words. For by your words thou shalt be justified, and by your words thou shalt be condemned. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 26, popular scripture, 43:26, Isaiah. Put me in remembrance. It says, let us plead together. Declare thou that thou mightest be justified. Declare thou. Declare I am free in prayer. And you are justified to be free. Declare I have a great tomorrow in prayer. It is, let me tell you this. When you stay in the place of prayer, it is a fight of faith. Ah, it is a fight of faith, sir. While we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. While we look at the job that is not yet there. While we look at the life that is not yet there. While we look at prophecy still hanging over your head. And you take your eyes away from it and begin to speak in the name of Jesus. Though my beginning be small, but my later end shall greatly increase. You are using words in the place of prayer. In the name of Jesus. What my father could not do, what my mother could not do. Because I am alive, they will be beneficiaries of the grace of God upon my life. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of untimely death that has killed people in my family, I come as a savior. I rise as a savior. He said, with long life shall I satisfy you and show you my salvation. I decree and declare, the spirit assigned to cause death, you have no power over my life. I come as a priest. The labor of establishing spiritual realities through words in prayer. Isaiah 41:21. Please, believers, learn this. Otherwise, forget about dominion. Somebody, may what I'm saying make you angry this night. May it make you angry. A holy provocation. The Bible says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. It said, bring forth your strong reasons. Look at me, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you what bring forth your strong reason means. Why should witchcraft stop working in your family? Bring forth your strong reason. Because the price has been paid. Don't say it to me. Say it in prayer. Why should you rise? Gideon, you come from the least of your father's house. And your father's house is the least of the tribe. Why should you be a mighty man of valor? Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen. When it has to do with your destiny and it has to do with prophecy, I want you to always carry the regalia of a fighter. Things will not change because you want it to change. Things will change because you pray it to change. Pray it to change. Ministry is not growing. It's because people don't like me. Maybe it's the tribe I'm coming from. Continue complaining and regretting. You will finish all you can and depress yourself and remain there. But when you know that there are territorial spirits that fights the destiny of men, and you go back and begin to engage and pray. Shabakatakata. The Bible says the works of my hands are blessed in the name of Jesus Christ. He's anointed me to be a minister and a priest. The work cannot die. The vision cannot die. Jesus said, all that you have given me, Father, where are those you have given me? I gravitate them by prophecy. They leave the north, the south, and the east, and the west. They connect to the grace because you have given me. Who is learning? The fight of faith, number two, has to do with establishing spiritual realities in your life as a functional reality through words in prayer. Through words. Brothers and sisters, for as long as I live, my mouth will not be silent over my destiny. My mouth will not be silent over koinonia. My mind will not be silent over you. God has given me a responsibility over your spiritual life and over your well-being. And for your sake, I won't keep quiet. Whether I'm tired or not, the devil will hear my voice for your sake. Oh, he will. Oh, he will. I will weary hell for your sake. When you are sleeping, I'll be awake. I'm not saying sleep. Wake up to and pray. But I will pray for you. Oh, I will pray for you. I can tell you I love you that much. I will pray for you. Satan, take your hands off that lady's life. Ah, but she's not serious spiritually, but she's under a covering that can help her in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, he showed me Joshua the high priest. It was not Joshua that removed his garment. Someone removed it for him. Let me tell you this. Please, If you don't know how to pray destiny advancing prayers, learn it. Oh, learn it. It's part of the end time weapons for victory. You get up in the morning, in the name of Jesus, nothing dies in my hands. Nothing fails in my hands. You are driving to work. The devil is reminding you of somebody who annoyed you. The devil is reminding you of how you failed, how you lost money in business. Hey, silence that voice in the name of Jesus. Silence that voice. Silence that voice. The earth is the Lord's and his fullness thereof. How about the school fees of your child? I may not see wind, I may not see rain, but my valley shall be filled with water. How about the church? It doesn't seem to grow. Are you not seeing members living? In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare by the power of the Holy Spirit, he will multiply me, I will not be small. He will glorify me, I will not be few. How about your children that are wayward? In the name of Jesus, the God who brought the prodigal son back home is bringing my children back home. I may not know where they are, but the grace that preserved the boy, that he did not deplete unto death. He told about Lazarus, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Let me prophesy over someone. That problem is not unto death. It will not kill you. It may have wounded you, but I tell you to not kill you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hear me. Do you know one of the major reasons Jesus went to resurrect Lazarus? Because he spoke that the sickness is not unto death. There were many people who died. Jesus did not raise them because he didn't say anything about their situation. But he spoke about Lazarus and he had to defend what he said. He already said the sickness is not unto death. So when Lazarus died, aside from other dynamics that played out, he said, let's go and wake him up because my word cannot fail. God has already called you a winner. So when you are losing, take that loss in prayer and say, Lord, why am I losing? You have called me a winner. Let the world not say you said this and this happened. Bring forth your strong reasons. Present your cause. Present your cause. Someone pray in 1 minute. Pray in the spirit in 1 minute. Say, I am victorious. Please don't keep quiet. In the name of Jesus, speak over your finances. Speak over your ministry. Speak over your career. Following online, are you praying? This is a fight of faith. A contention for accuracy, superiority of belief systems. Then a contention, the labor in faith to manifest spiritual reality through words in prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Please sit down. What is the fight of faith? The third dimension of the fight of faith. Are you ready? The labor and the contention to walk in obedience. The labor and the contention to walk in obedience. Obedience is costly. Obedience is expensive. Obedience can even be discouraging. There are times when it looks foolish to obey God. There are times when it looks unwise to obey God, because you will obey God with immediate human consequences. But the profit of obedience cannot be quantified. When we talk about the fight of faith, it is the labor, number three, and the contention to walk consistently. You may add that, to walk consistently or to walk perpetually in obedience. Isaiah 1:19. If they be willing and if they be obedient, you will eat the good of Abuja. You will eat the good of Nigeria. Hallelujah. Your obedience does not need a visa. It can draw good from everywhere and bring it to you. You can obey God in Abuja and the reward will come from America and no human will stop it from coming. You don't need any immigration pass. It will gravitate itself from the place of prophecy until it comes to your life. Let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, if you have not faced the pain of obedience, then you have not obeyed God truly. Did you hear what I said? If you have never faced the pain of obedience, then you have not obeyed God truly. Obedience is costly, painful. It's warfare. You are in an office and there's 10 billion naira floating. And just for keeping quiet, your own share is 2 billion. Think of what 2 billion can do for you. And don't say it's small money when you don't have anything in your account. 2 billion is a lot of money. Just keep quiet. You don't need to help push it. Just keep quiet. Let it pass. And you say, no, for the sake of my integrity and for the name of the Lord, no, this is wrong. Let it go back. And people will insult you, and their children will insult your children in school and say, you are the one stopping us from eating. May God punish you. They are asking God, who asks us to obey, to help and punish you. There are times obedience leads to loneliness. There are times obedience makes you controversial. There are times obedience makes you confuse yourself. God, what is the name of what we are doing? He said, just carry Isaac, keep going. Abraham, what is this journey? What are you doing with Isaac? May God bless you. I wish you good speed. Go home. I'm on my way going. Then when Isaac now asked by himself, Father, what are we doing? He said, let's keep going. Obedience, sir. Who is learning? The labor and the contention of walking consistently in obedience. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 6, quickly. Having the readiness to judge all disobedience. Having the readiness to judge or to revenge all disobedience. When your obedience is fulfilled or complete, you cannot have the authorization to judge disobedience in disobedience. Jesus used obedience to judge disobedience. The rebellion of Satan was not judged by Jesus' rebellion. If Jesus was stubborn, he would not be able to defeat Satan. It took obedience, even unto death. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. The fight of faith has a dimension to it that insists that you will obey God, whether it is immediately profitable or not. Did you hear what I said? That you will obey God, whether it is immediately profitable or not. Let me tell you, we live in a world where when righteousness does not produce immediate short-term profit, most believers get offended. God, but you said I should do this. I gave. Promise asked me to give. Where is he? I gave. And now after giving, I'm not seeing anything. Oh, what is going on here? There is he that scattereth and yet tends to penury. There is he that withholdeth. Or there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth and turns to penury. It may not always happen immediately. We have advanced systems of agriculture today. Hydroponics and other advancement, precision farming, where you can time with the precision of a surgeon that in 21 days, a farm can deliver vegetables. There are people today who run poultry in 4 weeks exactly, or 5 weeks, is matured enough, ready for a harvest. I mean, science has gone that far. But let me tell you, one thing you may not always be able to take out is the time factor. Once you plant, trust God, water it with thanksgiving. Everybody say, I receive grace to obey. Say it again. Say, I receive grace to walk in obedience. The obedience of prayer, the obedience of fasting, the obedience of learning, the obedience of giving, the obedience of honor, the obedience of compliance, the obedience of sacrifice, the obedience of surrender, the obedience of alignment. Oh, it may cost you a while, but learn from Jesus. He humbled himself and was obedient unto death. But the story did not stop there. Wherefore, don't take away that part from the equation. God had so highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name. Ladies and gentlemen, every time you say Jesus is Lord, what you mean is Jesus was obedient to be Lord. There is no dominion for the disobedient. The word Lord means absolute master, owner. There is a relationship between the consistency of obedience and dominion. Number four, what is the fourth aspect? Is someone learning tonight? So that the fight of faith, number one, refers to the contention to gain accuracy in thoughts, in ideas and belief systems. In other words, the warfare of bringing the word of God into your mental space, replacing old antichrist ideas, forcing your mind through the discipline of diligence to come under divine alignment, to submit to the superiority of the word. Number two, the labor of establishing spiritual realities through words in prayer. Number three, the contention and the labor of consistently walking in obedience. Number four, the fourth dimension of the fight of faith. Are you ready? Contending against demonic spirit and satanic infrastructures. Contending against demonic spirits and satanic infrastructures. Now we talk spirits. Now we talk Satan. Contending against demonic spirits and satanic infrastructures. Oh, this is a major part of the fight of faith. Spirits are real. James 4:7. Satan is real. Demons are real. Ephesians 6. James 4:7 says, resist the devil. There is a spirit called the devil. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. We looked at it earlier on. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our contention is beyond the human realm, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. These are different cadres of the demonic satanic organogram. Satan has an organized demonic infrastructure. The Bible calls it the gates of hell. A legion, 10,000 demons sat in the destiny and the life of one man. But when Jesus probed them, it was not all of them that spoke. It was one spirit that spoke representing them. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this. The believer who ignores the reality and the presence of Satan. Now, you should not be frightened by the presence of Satan. You should not be beguiled to live in fear and almost worship Satan. No. But to walk in ignorance and shrug it away, you may have your destiny as the price to pay for it. Satan is real as an evil spirit, as a rebellious spirit, as an unclean spirit. Jesus himself acknowledged the presence of Satan and told us that there is an intelligent demonic infrastructure that is antichrist in its formation, with a singular goal to thwart everything God, to thwart everything destiny, to thwart everything Christ, to thwart everything dominion, to strip the saints of dignity. Now the principal work has been done through the victory of Christ, but Satan will continue to wage war. What do you think Satan and demons are doing? Roaming around the length and the breadth of the earth. He will fight what he can fight in your life. He will fight you with death. He will fight you with sickness. He will fight you with discouragement. He will fight you with pain. But those who know how to fight, spirits are real. Not only do I believe because the word of God says, I have seen many of them. I've shared with you my encounters. I've seen demon spirits. So I'm not one person who comes out to tell you I've seen everybody in heaven and hell. I won't say that. But I've seen real spirits. I have seen demon spirits. I did not see any of them that shook me, that said, stretch your hand, young man, you are doing a good job. They are called wicked spirits. They are called unclean spirits, with a singular mission that is together summed up in John chapter 10 and verse 10. That the thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Again, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. One last time, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Nothing friendly in that mission. You want to have an idea of the character of Satan? You look at the wickedness in our world today. And to know that the people who do them are simply being manipulated. They are not Satan themselves. So the wickedness that is engineering those operations should give you an idea of who Satan is. Are we together? Yeah. That a man can carry a baby and lift her up and watch the baby and put a knife and slaughter the baby slowly and laugh afterwards. And yet that man is not Satan. It's not even Satan possessing the man. It's maybe a small demon spirit somewhere. That's the enemy fighting you. If he can slaughter a small innocent child, don't make the mistake of being flattered that he will leave your destiny. You are going to fight. He will kill your children if he can. I'm not scaring you. He will kill your reputation. He will kill everything, God. But thanks be to God in the name of Jesus who causes us to triumph. Is someone hearing what I'm saying? Yes, sir. The fight of faith is warfare, contention against spirits. Man of God, Satan will use spirits to fight you. He will fight your reputation. He will fight your testimony. He will fight your finances. He will fight your convictions. John the Baptist took Satan for granted and he paid for it. Just because he had seen the king, just because he saw the lamb that was slain. I'm sure maybe, perhaps, he got so confident that because he had seen Jesus and even ordained Jesus to ministry, it made him immune from Satan until Satan came to him and used the door of offense, created a rock of offense, and changed John the Baptist. John the prophet became John the unfortunate, and he was beheaded and died like one who God did not anoint. The only man the Bible says that he anointed from his mother's womb. If John was anointed from his mother's womb, you were not anointed from your mother's womb. You searched for the anointing in a meeting. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, do not fear Satan, but don't take him for granted. He's a vicious, determined spirit. I pray for you in Jesus' name. And I stand with the voice of intercession on behalf of your destiny. Anywhere Satan seems to have gained ground, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, we cast him far from your life. We cast him far from your family. We cast him far from your business. We cast him far from your ministry. We cast him far from your body. In the name of Jesus Christ. Again, I say to you, we cast him far from your body, far from your life, far from your destiny. Contending against demonic spirits and satanic infrastructures. Let me give you number five very quickly. What is the fifth aspect of the fight of faith? Are you ready? The fight of faith, number five, also refers to the patience and the persistence of faith. The patience and the persistence of faith. In other words, waiting in hope until your promise manifests. The patience and the persistence of faith. Fighting does not always mean motion. Fighting also means stamina, the staying power. Waiting in hope until the promise manifests, until your destiny manifests. Hebrews chapter 6, 12 and 15. Very quickly. Hebrews 6, 12 and 15. That ye be not slothful, but be followers of them. Watch how they obtain promises. Who through faith and patience obtain the promise. It is always faith and patience. Faith in partnership with patience. Verse 15. 6:15. And so after he being Abraham, had patiently endured, the Bible says he obtained the promise. Romans chapter 8 and verse 25. The fight of faith includes and involves the patience and the persistence of faith. Now, look up, please. Let me digress for 1 minute real quick and tell you the difference between waiting in hope or in faith and the waiting that is unto vanity. The difference is you are waiting based on what God has said versus just waiting on imaginations. Are we together? If you are just waiting one day, go better, that's not the weight of faith. That's weight that is going to lead to disappointment because the word of God is not backing that waiting. But when God tells you, he says, all the days of my appointed time, I will wait until my change comes. When you wait upon the Lord, when you wait based on the word of God, it is the wait, the patience, the persistence of faith. Romans 8:25. Give it to us, please. 8:25 Romans. Romans chapter 8. It says, for if we hope for that we see not, then we do so with patience, or we through patience wait for it. Give us NIV. NIV of this same scripture. 8:25 Romans. NIV. It says, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Wait for the breakthrough patiently. Wait for the prophecy patiently. Wait for the promotion patiently. For someone, let me speak to you. Wait for the marriage patiently. Wait for the child patiently. Wait for the anointing. The alternative of not waiting patiently is to route through a formula that will end up bringing pain. Every time you cannot wait for Isaac, let me tell you this, impatience will always give birth to the child that fights your promise. Impatience will always give birth to the child that fights your promise. Every time you cannot wait for Isaac, it will make you give birth to Ishmael. And Ishmael and Isaac will remain in contention forever. Sometimes you save yourself future wars by telling Hagar, thank you, but just go. I will wait. Someone, this is a prophetic word for you right now. Because you are a man of God and you are boiling. Where would this anointing land on my head? If this anointing has landed on my head now, and because you wanted to just run around, God, out of mercy, made the embassy to reject you visa. That's what has kept you quiet now. Like, it's not like you are disciplined. It's that there's nothing else to do. God just kept you so that you hear words like this. The visa is in your destiny, but wait. Wait. Most people join bad gangs, bad associations, because they are trying to hurry seasons. How many of you have tried to stone a mango tree to bring down green, small mangoes that are not yet ripe? You know how difficult it is? You keep throwing stones. Eventually, you will break somebody's glass. They take you to the police station. You will pay and not eat the mango. You see the trouble? That's Ishmael there. But sometimes you just need to be patient for 1 more month, 2 more months, 3 more months. The Bible says after 4 months, then comes the harvest. And you find out that a green mango just becomes red or orange or whatever color. And on its own, years ago, I used to have a very fruitful mango tree near my house. And my goodness, you need to see the wonder of God's wisdom when it is rainy season. By yourself, that's what will wake you. It's just like rain. Early in the morning, we used to have all these people who, the locals around the area, they come by 5 a.m. with buckets and they come to pack the mango because it's free for everybody. Nobody can remember who planted the tree. It's God that gave the increase. Everybody comes to carry the thing and go and sell it in the market. Many of the things you are fighting to get through impatience, a day will come, it will be your reality. You will even be tired of it. Don't hurry seasons. Thank God for speed, but don't hurry seasons. Is someone learning? I always give this example. How many of you have seen children try to dress like adults? The little girl will want to wear her mother's wig by force. And one day, you know what children do? Signs and wonders. The mother will come back and meet the daughter. Painted her eyes, painted everything, painted the ground, painted everything. poured everything on the ground. And you see the little child. One day they sent me a video of some children who worked wonders in the fridge. I think the mother was doing something. And I don't know, I think the younger brother tried to help the sister open the fridge. They brought down butter. They brought down ketchup. I wouldn't tell you what they did with it. But at the end of it, this was them playing. Everything was on the ground. The mother saw them. She didn't know what to do with the children. That's what happens to most of us. You just need to wait. You know how expectant you were to get to 18. Still remember? Now think of how old you are now. That's right. You couldn't wait. You even lied where you were 15. You said, are you 18? I'm kind of 18, but you are there now. One day you will wake up to your shock and you'll be celebrating 70. If you like, say you are 20, we will know you are 70. But who got the message? The patience of faith. The patience of faith. Some of these days, I tell you the truth, I saw them many years ago. Maybe not exactly in this form, but I saw them. I saw crusades those days. I didn't understand what city or in what form, but I saw it. Sometimes when I open my notebooks and I'm looking at it, tears just come out of my eyes. The precision of some of these visions. You see that? But God granted us grace to wait. Sometimes when God has shown you something very far and you are not yet there, it will look like you are not moving. But know you are moving. Know you are moving. Know you are moving. The patience of faith. And pray for someone. Hold on to what God has said and keep fighting as you wait. Man of God, don't allow naysayers to hurry you into seasons. He has anointed you. It is in your destiny. But wait for the season. Seasons must coincide with prophecy to produce profit. When you get a correct prophecy and try to execute that prophecy in a wrong season, you will still fail, as if God did not send you. And let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but if you know anything about waiting, it is the greatest proof of faith. Because the waiting period in a man's life is when you live in the silence of God. I've taught you this. God will not say anything about the issue of your family, anything about the issue of your ministry. When God is silent, His silence is a voice. His silence means trust me. His silence means I'm walking away for you. His silence means I'm carrying you until you get into the season of your manifestation. For someone, let me prophesy in 1 minute. I know you have been waiting, but in the name of Jesus, I sense in my heart that the wait is almost over. Amen. In the name of Jesus. And let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, by the time your wait is over, it's God Himself that opens the door for you. And He ushers you with gallantry. You step into the next season legitimately and with honor and dignity. And anybody who tries to look at you as though you should not have stepped into that season, God becomes your defense because He's the one who ushered you into that season. There are many things you will not need to say about your life when God brings you into a season. Is someone learning now? Hallelujah. The fight of faith. The patience and the persistence of faith. Waiting in hope for the manifestation of the promise. James chapter 1, 3 and 4. James 1, 3 and 4. Knowing this, he said, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. One of the things I know patience does is to birth maturity. One of the major elements that makes a believer matured is patience. Patience. In Jewish days, you were not considered an adult until you attained a biological age of 30. That's why Jesus had to wait until he was 30 to begin manifesting his ministry. You were not considered a full-grown adult until you were 30. I think I'm right on that. Hallelujah. And so sometimes life will just keep you intentionally and you may not understand. You may feel qualified for the next level, but it is God who accredits men. If God says, wait, please wait. What do you do while waiting? Pray. What do you do while waiting? Give thanks. What do you do while waiting? Sow into the life of those who have entered the season you are coming into. Is someone learning now? What do you do while you are waiting? You continue to learn from those who have gone ahead of you, so that the mistakes they made, you will not make it. Don't waste your waiting days. Apostle, my own is that no man has even said he wants to marry me. When will he come? Apostle, is that every woman I've seen, there's no woman who is saying, every woman I walk to, she says, you are not the one. Let me tell you what to do. Every time you are waiting, number one, keep praying while you are waiting. Number two, keep giving thanks while you are waiting. Number three, carry your notebook and your paper and be an observer. Be a learner while you are waiting. Waiting is a great privilege because you have the opportunity now, from hindsight, somebody's past is your future, and you can see there is no destiny without mistakes. You have the opportunity to see, oh, this preacher, this is what he did. He wouldn't have done it this way. Let me learn so that when I'm coming, I can jump there. This businessman, he went 10 steps and one decision brought him 3 steps. Let me note it. The one who is busy learning from those who have gone ahead will not even know when the waiting period is over. And then sow into the life. That's why I feel sorry for those who criticize those who are ahead of them. They are doing themselves a great disservice. Anybody who has gone ahead of you and does not get it right, that is a great privilege for you. You have learned from the pain of the person so that you don't make that mistake again. I will hold on through the storm, and I will hold on to your word. My life will soon reveal you're the lifter of men, the lifter of men. Yeah. I will hold on through the storm, and I will hold on to your word. My life will soon reveal you're the lifter of men. One more time, let it be from the depth of your heart. That I will hold on through the storm, and I will hold on to your word. My life will soon reveal you're the lifter of men, the lifter of men. Let me tell you a little story. There was a year in my life I had 43 invitations to US. 43 invitations to the U.S. And God will constrain me by every means. How? 43 invitations, not 10, not 15, not 30. Who does not want to grow? Who does not want to get into other territories? But I'm looking from hindsight now, and I can see the wisdom of God. Sometimes when God keeps you, it is his loving hand. Because a red carpet is being prepared before you. But if you are not patient, he will leave you. And you will open the door and see that all that is before you are muddy waters. And you will be stuck in that mud until everybody behind you goes ahead. The consequence of choosing your way. Hallelujah. Once upon a time, and I'm saying this to encourage you. Never had the opportunity to travel anywhere. Not to go anywhere. Not that traveling necessarily means anything. But I'm just saying these are the journeys. I remember the first time I traveled, I think it was to Ghana. I went by road, one of the transport companies. We spent almost a whole day at the various borders. You see all those borders? I know them very well. Very well. I know what happens there. I can recite what happens there. I can tell you what pain happens in which border. There was a time many years ago, I've shared the story with you. going to Maiduguri to preach. And at that time, there was crisis. I was about to take a flight. I used to leave Zaria to come to Abuja because we couldn't get that flight in Kaduna. I think it was just one flight, a few days a week. And on my way coming, we're already on the Abuja-Kaduna Expressway. When the airline is gone now, they sent a text and said the flight is canceled. And it was a Friday. I now told the person driving me, can you drive me to Maiduguri? He said, yes. You will pay so amount. I said, let's go. I left Kano. It was less than 1 hour when there was a bomb blast. And a curfew was put in place. I would have been trapped there in Kano. I remember that night. I'm sharing this with you. Sometimes it's important for you to know people did not just jump into this thing. There is the patience of faith. There's a place called Potiskum. We spent the night right there in the car because they had locked the border and there were military people all around. There were hundreds of cars. We had to stay there from that time until 6 a.m. when they would open it up. And I said, God, look at me. I'm inside a car. Mosquitoes, no water. I mean, anybody who came with water to sell around the neighborhood, people would just pick it up. Because nobody really planned to stop there. People planned to have passed. But because of crisis and, you know, fight at the time. I was going to preach that time, you know, for the Christian body there. Because they needed a lot of love and support. And nobody was going there. And I said, let's just make it happen for these people. I remember staying there that night. And one of the songs that I sang, I was just humming it. Should I sing it for you? I love. That was the song I was singing in that car. I love your presence. I love. I love you, Jesus. I love. I love your presence. When it was morning, as soon as the military people opened the way, everybody was rushing. That was another hold up again because people would not be patient. The guys with trucks were bullying all the smaller cars and everybody had to wait. It was chaotic just to clear people. I remember getting to all there. You will get to a place and come out of the car and you will lift your hands. No matter who you are, if you like, say you're a man of God. The military people were serious. They don't tolerate nonsense. You don't respect yourself. They beat the living daylight out of you there. Lift your hands. They check you and you pass. And when I got there to preach, I could see some of them crying. They couldn't believe that we came to bless them. Those days have gone. But thank God they came. Because there is a lesson from those days that keeps us today. So when you're in an aircraft and someone is clapping for you, just when pride wants to arise, God brings the memory of those days and tells you, make sure you don't allow pride to reduce you back to your yesterday. And you bend down and bow your knees, even if it's in the aircraft, and say, Lord, I give you thanks. You are the reason for where I am now. Maybe somebody God brought this word to remind you. You need to take some time and remember the last 10 years, the last 20 years, and you will not complain about today again. You will get down your knees and say, Lord, it will take me a telescope to see back into yesterday. Is someone learning now? Let me give you one more. We have to pray. The fight of faith. The sixth aspect of the fight of faith. Now listen to this. The fight of faith, number six, involves the wisdom to navigate the complexities in the world of men. The wisdom to navigate the complexities that exist in the world of men. The fight of faith is not just contending against spirits. It's not just contending against demons. It's not just contending against thoughts. It's not just obedience. But the fight of faith also involves the wisdom to navigate the complexities that exist in the world of men. Ladies and gentlemen, it is possible to win the war against spirits, to win the war against inferior thoughts, and not have the wisdom to navigate the world of men. You will still be a victim. How many of you know that engaging principles like the law of honor, engaging principles like people skills, friendliness, the law of value, all of these things, they are warfare arsenals. They help you survive in today's world. Can I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there are some battles with men you must try and avoid, because there are some battles with men, if you fight, you will lose, even if those men are not born again. There are men who are gatekeepers, and they may not be born again, but they are Cyruses. I'm telling you, as much as you can, avoid battles with them. It is not weakness. There are some battles you should avoid. Are we together? I have taught you here, when you want to deal with the world of men, don't fight everybody. Still remember? Find out who your adversary is before you fight. If the name of your adversary is Goliath, what do? You fight. But if the name of your adversary is Saul, don't fight David. No matter who pressures you, David, don't fight Saul. Even though the anointing is on you, even though the anointing has left him, David still called Saul God's anointed. Don't fight. There are some battles that if you fight, it's your great-grandchildren that will keep fighting that battle, because it will cost you your life and victory will never come. How do you solve those problems? I am sorry. Remember, honestly, there are certain battles that would not even start if you have the humility to say, I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm sorry is not from the one who is wrong to the one who is right. It's from the one who is wise and needs peace. Did you hear what I said? I'm sorry is not always from wrong to right. Sometimes I'm sorry is from the one who is the voice of wisdom as a way of brokering peace. There are some battles I will not fight in my life. God did not send me to fight those battles. No matter the pressure, I will not fight. I will never fight the body of Christ. I will never fight the fathers of faith. You see, is someone learning now? There are principles that govern spiritual things. One of it is to understand the wisdom of navigating the world of men. There are men who are very difficult, but very gifted. The key to working with them is adaptation. They are very difficult, but if those people endorse you, they can open a door. A 10-year door, they can open it in one day. The key is to endure them. I hope you know Elijah was a temperate man. Read Bible history. Elijah was not just an anointed man. He had temper, but the anointing was still on him. And sometimes you would think because of that, God will remove it. It's amazing how this treasure is in earthen vessels. The man who God has ordained to anoint you uses all kinds of vulgar and curse words. Now, it is not a justification, but don't go around fighting the anointing. No. Endure the insult while learning how to not insult your sons when you get to that position, because it's easier said than done. So while of that is, you are very stupid. No problem, sir. This and that and that. Or you kneel down and you still pray, and you'll be surprised. God will still anoint you. And when that is over, the day you now become a father yourself and you now know the pain of being a father, when you want to open your mouth, God will remind you that as a son, you hated a father insulting you. So zip your mouth. Only bless and don't curse. One of the things leadership should teach you is when you have not placed your legs in the shoes ahead of you, bah, just shut your mouth. Believe me, shut your mouth. There are many noisemakers, not just in the body of Christ, but in society. People who cannot manage anything, but they can run their mouth against anything and anyone and everybody. I have learned by experience and by the wisdom of the fathers. The older you are and the more God lifts you in this life, the more silent you become. Because you now see how difficult some shoes are. Yes, sir. Is someone learning? There are many young people who insulted their parents. My father is irresponsible. He cannot provide for us. One way God answers you is to hurry you to get into the realm you are criticizing. He will promote you in a hurry so that you now become a father. Oh, my father, what is there managing three children? And God quickly brings a lady you like, Oya Mari. And she now gives birth to one child. And you now know what it means to have to lose a job just when your child is 2 years old. And the child of 2 years old is giving you headache. You now turn back and see that your mother raised nine of you. You will now know what it means to love nine stubborn children. Learn this as a principle. Don't be too quick to talk about things and realms you have not gotten there. It is easier said than done, I'm telling you. You've heard me say it takes vision to start. It takes discipline to continue, but it takes mercy to finish. Please, you may want to write that down. You won't need it now, but somewhere in your life, what I've said will make sense to you. It takes vision to start. Agreed. It takes discipline to continue. Agreed. But for any man who finishes, it is the mercy of God that finally escorts you to the finish line.
When our backs were against the wall, and it looked as if it was over, you made a way. And we're standing here only because you made.
Hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, without these six elements of the fight of faith, please listen to me. There is no possessing your possession. These are the six elements of the fight of faith that will turn that which is finished in Christ to make dominion functional and manifest in your life. I run them for one last time. The contention to gain accuracy in thoughts, in ideas, and belief systems. In other words, the warfare of replacing old antichrist inferior non-word compliant ideas with that which is consistent with the word. The labor of establishing spiritual realities through words and in prayer, consistently so. The labor and the contention to walk in consistent obedience. Even if the result does not show immediately, consistent obedience. Number four, contending against demonic spirits and all satanic infrastructure that stand against your destiny and all who are connected to you. Meaning establishing the victory, the finished work of Christ over those demonic arsenals, binding them, casting them, declaring that they are limited as far as their entrance to your life and destiny is concerned. And then number five, the patience and the persistence of faith, waiting in hope for the manifestation of the promises, waiting in hope until your destiny emerges, waiting in the silence of God until His word becomes good in your life. And then finally, the wisdom to navigate the complexities that are in the world of men. Ladies and gentlemen, even if Satan were not in existence, the world would still be difficult without the wisdom to navigate this system. Men are a great blessing. I think it's God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo, who was asked, I was told, many years ago, he said, what are the greatest gift in your life? What's the greatest gift in your life? He said, men. And he said, what's the greatest trouble in your life? He said, men. The reason why you cry will be men. And the reason why your tears will stop will still be men. Promotion comes from God, but it comes through men. Demotion comes from Satan. It still comes through men. Victory is manifest through men. Defeat is manifest through men. If you do not know how to navigate the complex world of men, there are men you will need in your life, but they are arrogant and there's nothing you can do. They don't plan to change. You just have to know how to navigate through them. There are men who have hot temper, but they are ahead of you. But they carry what you need. You need to know how to navigate the complexities. There are men who are very insecure, very, very insecure, yet they have something your destiny needs. You will need the wisdom of navigating through their emotional limitations until you receive the treasure that is in them. Are we together? There are men who are very confident and very matured. You need to know how to appreciate God for these people and not take them for granted. The world of men is very complex. As a preacher, as a career person, as a business person, you need to know how to navigate the world of men if you want to walk in victory. Ladies and gentlemen, when Paul says, I have fought the good fight, this is what he means. That I have taken advantage of the word of God, even from the days of being a scribe. I've hidden the word in my heart and my mind. I have engaged in prayer, establishing spiritual realities. I have paid the price to walk in obedience. I have fought the beasts of Ephesus in my journey and kept them at bay. I have stayed in prisons on favorable conditions until things changed. And finally, I have received the wisdom to walk with men. When Paul stood before Felix, when he stood before Agrippa, it was by wisdom that he navigated the discussion of the gospel. He stood before Agrippa and communicated the gospel. He started his presentation by honoring Agrippa, celebrating his intelligence. And then it was an intelligent presentation of his encounter. At the end of it, Agrippa said he was almost converted. The wisdom to walk with men. There are times the way to ask men to do anything is to celebrate them genuinely first before you bring your request. Because unfortunately, there are people who like those kinds of things, and because they are the gatekeepers of your destiny, they never provide help until they are aware that you know, and you must make them know that you are aware of the achievements. That is the pathway to their mind. That's the pathway to receiving favor from them. I don't know about you, but I want to see every victory that's been wrought for me in Christ manifested in my life, especially in this year of deliverance and exemption. I don't want to be a victim of anything that Jesus has already paid for. And I know believing what he has done is only one part of the equation. I must engage the fight of faith. And I owe you to teach you tonight as our global family that it takes fighting the good fight of faith. The land has been given to you, but you must arise and contend and possess your possession. Please rise up on your feet, hold hands with someone by your left and right, and pray in the spirit. Go ahead and pray. Thank God for all that you have heard and learned tonight. That there is a fight of faith. That is the contention that makes dominion a functional reality in your life. The difference between walking in the awareness of a prophetic word that never manifests and having it become a functional reality in your life is that you war a good warfare with the prophecy that's been spoken unto you. That's what Paul told his son in the gospel, that thou mightest war a good warfare. Someone open your mouth and thank God for all that you have heard and learned. Shabratina kaparantos yata. I will contend. I have been given, but I will contend. I have been raised up with Christ, but I will contend. Contend against thoughts. Contend against spirits. Contend with time. Until victory becomes a functional reality in my life. Until dominion becomes a functional reality in my life. Someone lift your voice and thank him. Those outside, are you praying? Overflows, are you praying? Those who are connected online, make sure you are praying. In Jesus' name we pray. Lift your voice and ask the Lord to grant you the grace to fight. The grace to fight, the grace to fight, the grace to fight, the grace to contend and not be weary, the grace to fight. If you turn aside in the day of battle, the Bible says your strength is small. Someone lift your voice and pray. Contend for the grace to fight, meaning the grace to pray, the grace to fight, meaning the grace to study, the grace to fight, meaning the grace to walk perpetually in obedience, the grace to fight, meaning the staying power to wait, the grace to fight, meaning the wisdom to navigate this complex world of men. Is someone praying? Shabanata sakatebeleke parakosyata. Embratana kaska pranta kaparantosh kata bregate leka brakate parakata prante kaparakata. I fight the good fight of faith over my health. I fight the good fight of faith. Mention the various areas of your life where you need to see the word of God manifest, where you need to see victory manifest, where you need to see dominion manifest. Obtain grace to fight. To fight means to pray. Obtain grace to fight. To fight means to study the word. Obtain grace to fight. To fight means to meditate until conviction is established. Obtain grace to fight. To fight means to walk in obedience. Obtain grace to fight. Fight means wisdom. Obtain grace to fight. Fight means the waiting of patience. In Jesus' name we pray. One final prayer. I'd like you to open your mouth and decree and declare that every thought or every spirit or every habit that is stopping me from accessing the victory that is in Christ, by the blood of the eternal covenant, I curse it forever. Open your mouth and pray. Every belief system, every mindset, every paradigm shift, every inaccurate or wrong understanding or incomplete understanding of the word of God that is not allowing victory and dominion to be a functional reality in my life, I come against it. Every demonic spirit, every plot of darkness, is someone praying? Every plot of darkness. You are praying for your destiny. You are praying for your children. You are praying for your business. You are praying for your organization. You are praying for Koinonia. There is what you must do, and the glory of God appears unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let me add this one last prayer. Father, move my destiny forward and let me walk in dominion. Open your mouth and pray. Advance my life. Advance my life. It's an honest prayer from a serious believer. Open your mouth and pray. Lord, advance my life. Advance my destiny. Let me go forward. Let me go forward strategically, consistently. Are you praying? Let me go forward financially. Let me go forward spiritually. Let me go forward as far as my understanding of your prophetic blueprint for me is concerned. Let me go forward maritally, relationally. Let me go forward career-wise. Someone is praying. In Jesus' name we pray. Every attack over your destiny, every gang up of hell, and every spirit that has been assigned in this year 2026 to fight you, to fight the word of God, to fight prophecy, to fight your integrity, to fight your joy, to fight your faith, in the name of Jesus, because the Lord brought you to church today, I pray for you from the depth of my heart. I declare that that battle is over now. That battle is over now. That battle is over, leaving you victorious. over leaving you victorious, over leaving you victorious in the name of Jesus. Oh, he makes wars to cease. I pray for you by the power of the Holy Spirit. No matter how long that battle has been against thoughts, against spirit, battle against the forces that keep you in disobedience, I decree and declare, let victory be established now. Therefore, I speak over your life. Go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Make progress, advance, financially advance, spiritually advance, maritally advance, relationally advance, career-wise advance, in the name of Jesus. Hear me, I forbid you from going up and down. You will go up and stay up. I say it again, no going up and down. You will go up and stay up. Any man that digs a pit for your destiny, this week they will enter into that pit. Hear me. Every spirit, I say it again, assigned over your destiny through dreams, through visions, manipulators of destiny, manipulating your mind, making you to behave in a way that stops dominion from being revealed through your life. I declare the influence of those spirits over your destiny comes to an end now. The grace to walk in obedience I release upon you. The grace to have dominion consciousness, receive it in Jesus' name. Wave your hands and give Jesus praise. Wave your hands and give him praise. Hallelujah. Everybody stand if you are able to. Please stand. I want to invite you very quickly to come to Jesus. Why Jesus? Because he's the only way, the truth, and the life. Why Jesus? Because he's the begotten of the Father, who was given as a propitiation for our sins. Why Jesus? He's the only one who loved you that much to give his life. Other people can give their time. Other people can give even themselves their lives. But their blood is unable to cleanse you. Why Jesus? Because he came as the image of the invisible God. Why Jesus? Because he's the only one who is able to connect you to the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, it is true that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son. The Bible declares that whosoever, and that includes you, who will believe on him, there's a law that that person should not perish, but have life everlasting. It says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You are in this place, my dear brother, my dear sister, in this auditorium, spread across the overflows, outside, following online, and you're saying, Apostle, I hear you. I know I need Jesus. Wherever you are, I'm going to request, counting 1 to 5, that you leave your seat. Do that gallantly. Do that truthfully. Do that without guile. Leave your seat and come stand right in front of me. It's always an honor to lead you to Jesus. God bless you, my dear brother. Who is the second? Who is the third? Who is the fourth coming? We have seen the first. Let the remaining come. File up quickly. Join this gentleman. Join him. Join him. Join him. You may not be the first to stand here, but you receive equal reward. The blood's been shed equally for everyone. Keep coming. There's room at the cross. I begin my counting now. 1, 2. It's a new season. It's a new day. Come. The hand of God is strong upon you. That's why he brought you here. Young and old, male, female, come. 3. Keep clapping, Koinonia. Let's encourage them. Someone is saying, Apostle, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. You can have and find the assurance of salvation tonight. Join them. 4. At the 5th count, I begin to pray. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight.
and now I'm happy all the way. At the cross, come, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart he rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy. Pays to love Jesus, pays to know him. Our lives are testaments of what he can do with a life that is truly yielded to him. And ladies and gentlemen, the invitation tonight is beyond being a member of a church, is beyond identifying with a faith practice. It's a call to build a functional relationship with the lover of your soul. I want to thank you and thank those who might be following online. Every time we talk to people like this, we're quick to also add those who are following online. You're at the back of our camera and we may not be able to see you, but I want you to know that the God of all grace is seeing you. And as I lead these ones in prayer, please do join very quickly and mean it from your heart. With your hands lifted high above your head, please say this after me. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word. Say, I love you with all my heart. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin. I believe you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. Say, I believe that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I live for Jesus all the days of my life. Amen. With your hands still lifted, Father, thank you for this, my dear brothers and sisters here on site and the many online who are declaring your Lordship tonight. Your word declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. These ones have come declaring your Lordship. Thank you, O God, for the integrity of your word. And upon the strength of your word, we call them bona fide recipients of your life. And in the name of Jesus, the grace to walk in victory is imparted upon you. You live for Jesus, loving him, serving him, growing in grace, serving his purposes all the days of your life. You go forward ever and backward never, only to be called victorious, never defeated. For it's in Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. Please look to my right. That is your left from where you are standing. There are counselors who will be having a quick word and a prayer with you. Thereafter, you'll be back to your seats. Please, let's appreciate them. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Okay, just a final reminder that number one, the venue and the date, for Sound of Revival UK has been let out. Please remember it is Liverpool and then it is 22nd and 23rd of May. It's a Friday and a Saturday. 3 sessions, 2 days. Please do us the good of spreading it as far and as wide as you are able to using your platforms. And there are limited spaces, I can tell you without being political. I'm not even sure if there's any space left, but I'm sure that the QR code, the link will be made available. Please, media, make sure it's clear so that people can quickly register for the spaces that are available. Again, we're in Liverpool this time around, and make sure you hurry up. Usually when we make announcements like this, we make it on time because there's usually, a crash in on hotels and accommodation, particularly for those of you who live within and around Europe. Please make sure you are able to secure a space, particularly for your accommodation, so that we don't have a lot of pressure on our PR department over advices on logistics and the rest. At least we have a month and then a few weeks. Cash in on that and the Lord will help you in the blessed name of Jesus. Next week, we'll be on a fast. The media will communicate that. We'll be fasting on Sunday. You can break. As usual, the media will send the time. The prayer focus by Saturday night, by God's grace, we'll put the prayer focus. Please make sure, by the way, those of you who have not connected to our social media platforms, I usually don't say that a lot,
But let me say that now. All our social media platforms, Koinonia Global, not just Abuja, please make sure you connect to all our platforms. And then we're building a global membership. Make sure the WhatsApp channel, can you put it up so that everybody will see it? All of you who follow the teachings and follow every place, we're building family and we're building this community. Make sure you are part of it across our various expressions. We're doing regional and then we're doing global. So please make sure you connect and send the word to as many so that you help us build that global community. By God's grace, now and in the nearest future, we'll be doing a lot of programs that will be fully online so that we're able to reach people beyond having to be there physically. The days that are before us are already teaching us that it's important to have a strong online and offline presence and a channel to be able to reach our family beyond being there physically. Praise God. We may not have the opportunity to go to every city and every region in person for various reasons. And so that we're not limited as far as discipleship, transformation, revival, and salvation is concerned. So help us on this journey. Make sure you connect to all our social media platforms. And as always, let me encourage you, please listen to this message again. The good fight of faith. How to make dominion to be a functional reality in your life. Listen as a student. Listen as one who is being trained. Listen and learn. Listen and make notes. Listen and pray. And then you can give as many people who are on an onward journey to becoming enlightened, powerful, anointed, and visionary believers. And by the grace of God, we'll do that. And God is helping us in Jesus' name. I speak over your life. Your week is blessed. Amen. Receive it. Your week is blessed. Amen. From Sunday up until Sunday next week, you walk in the blessing. You walk in wisdom. You walk in power. You walk in victory. You walk in dominion. In the name of Jesus. The noisome pestilence is far from you. It will not come near your dwelling. Good things will happen to you this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. It will be a week of laughter, dancing, and rejoicing for you. I say it again. It will be a week of laughter, dancing, and rejoicing for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. They that come against you in one way will be scattered in seven ways. The Lord will protect you. The Lord will defend you. The works of your hands are blessed this week. Your mind is blessed this week. You will know something about God this week you did not know before. You will begin to see results in your life this week. The anointing will speak evidently this week. Helpers will finally arrive this week. In the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare in dreams and visions, God will show you the blueprint for the next season. As you go in the air, you are blessed. As you go by road, you are blessed. As you go by sea, you are blessed. As you walk on foot, you are blessed. The rod of the wicked will not rest upon your lot. You are exempted from evil. I declare it's your week of deliverance and exemption. It's your week of deliverance and exemption. It's your week of advancement and promotion. It's your week for a new song. In the name of Jesus Christ, shout amen seven times. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Give Jesus praise. The Lord bless you. Have a great week, and then I'll see you on Sunday. God bless you.
I will long through the storm. I will hold on to your word. My life will soon reveal that you are the lifter of men. The lifter of men. I will hold on through the storm. You have a The lifter of me, the lifter.